Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We have a surprise guest on this Friday edition coming up in the next hour. We're working on several other newsworthy guests that can bring us a lot of important information and enlightenment here on the broadcast today. It is the 23rd day of January 2009. We will be live for the next 3 hours and 58 minutes. And then I'll be back this Sunday live 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Obama officially orders Gitmo closed. That is the headline. Secret prisons. Obama's order to close black sites. But if you go into what his policy wonks have actually said in the last few weeks of what they're doing, that they're going to look at closing Guantanamo Bay in the next year and look at a new system of holding these prisoners. And if you read the fine print, they are simply not going to call them ghost sites anymore. And they are going to hold foreigners and U.S. citizens in bases inside the United States and other parts of the world. And I've, of course, done the research on this on and off since they opened Guantanamo 7 years ago. But I went back last night and this morning and pulled up some of the history of that. And I also went and pulled up a few weeks ago with Obama on national television kind of going sideways on the issue. So it's another betrayal. Form over substance. But at least, I'll say this, the American people have forced the establishment to at least act like it isn't kosher, it isn't acceptable to have secret prisons all over the planet where they torture people. And there is talk internationally of war crimes charges and crimes against humanity against Bush and others. They wrote the memos saying they could bury people alive, pull their toenails out, torture their children in front of them, pressure their families, things of that nature. Is Obama calling for that? No, he's not. He's thanking George Bush during his inaugural speech for the, quote, great job he's done for the country. So they have to make the public think they're reversing course, when in reality they are just going along the exact same course while the international bankers loot us for trillions of dollars a week. And that brings me to the second subject I'm going to detail. Wall Street Journal says, what bank nationalization means for you? Bloomberg has the headline, Citigroup, Bank of America may look nationalized. Now, this is not true. They are not being nationalized. It's far worse. They are being taken into a secret consortium of the private international central bank holders, and private groups are taking over the banks, and then the second phase of the bailout will be paid secretly. It's and Timothy Geithner, all of them are on record, into this new institution. And so they're telling the public nationalization will save you. Nationalization will get credit flowing again. Just like they said with the October 3rd law they passed, the banker bailout, that it would get things rolling. And then they said, we're not telling you where the money went. The problem isn't subprime mortgages. Well, here we are, October, November, December, January, almost 4 months later. And they're saying, it's back to the future. We're going to have to create this new international institution. So see, they're not nationalizing. They're handing control of these banks, even more control, over to the private secretive Federal Reserve, only the New York Board of Governors. And then they are going to hand over authority and are handing over authority openly to an international body. Then there's big new NSA information as well.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Tell you about the surprise guest we've got coming on today in a little while. We've also got the author and researcher who's exposing one of Obama's new cabinet picks, who wants animals to be able to sue humans, but of course the state and private groups are going to represent the animals, and the animals will have human standing, and then they will but the government will speak for the animals. And they're saying this themselves, has nothing to do with stopping animal cruelty. It has nothing to do with helping little bunny rabbits. It's all about grabbing land and property and waging war on the almost extinct middle class worldwide. And that ties into the entire eugenics overlay. So that's coming up in about an hour and a half. In front of me today, I have the Guantanamo hoax, the closure of Guantanamo hoax. But it is a victory. It is positive to a certain degree and certain level. So we're going to go into that. Also, there's been big new NSA spying developments. The full extent is now being learned, and it's exactly what I said 13 years ago on air. The National Security Agency reads every email, listens to every phone call. They track every digital cable box, what you're watching, what you're doing. They dial in and use the microphones implanted in them to listen to you. They use the built-in cameras and audio sensors in your cell phones, in your computers. It's all admitted. Why did I know this? Because it was in tech industry high-level engineer publications that when I first got on air in 95, 96, Austin being a big tech town, people mailed it to me and they said, you think Big Brother's bad, Mr. Jones, with some cameras on the street. You have no idea. And I had people send me videos inside the Texas Department of Transportation, where they would shoot video off the screen. I've got to find this. I played it on Access TV like one time in 98, and it's in the big stacks of videos back there when it was just me running everything. That's why we're getting more people in here to go through the literally thousands of videos and DVDs and audios that we have three storage buildings of with that type of incredible research and reports we did that we're going to put on PrisonPlanet.tv. But I got to raise the money to hire somebody to go through it, and it's got to be somebody that knows what they're looking for. It's just a gold mine of information in there. But I'm digressing, because all of this stuff is secret once they implement it. But when they're R&D researching it, when the big companies are lobbying the government to adopt their surveillance package, it's public. Just like in 1992, I saw Alexander Haig with his own TV show on cable bragging that they were going to put high-altitude, 100,000-foot-in-the-air blimps better than satellites and cheaper to surveil all U.S. cities and face scan us. And I was in high school watching Alexander Haig at the time. He was into high technology. He knew that everything was cable TV at that time. And so he bought a national infomercial he would run every day where he would just sit there for 30 minutes talking about the New World Order and everything else. And just a few weeks ago, I remembered that show and remembered seeing that, and that was one of the things that really woke me up as well, was that I would watch Alexander Haig many days when I would get home. I was in high school. I'd leave school. I'd go work out for an hour, come home, turn the TV on, and Alexander Haig was on, and they would air it on the local county channel through some grant through his defense company. But I'm digressing. See, that's how there's all this information tied together and data and info. And so 7 years ago, they announced the launch of the blimps, and then they said they were secret and didn't exist after that. So there's different policies in government where they'll admit something and later say it never happened. So that's how I knew exactly how everything worked, how the cell phones listened to you and tracked you, and you had to take the battery out. And I would talk about it in 96 because I read it in tech publications, and then I saw the bill, the Telecommunications Act, that said it was to track and trace you and said the NSA was putting in hubs in all the phone companies and internet to fully track everything, to where everything goes through them. The phone company is the National Security Agency. The big cable providers are the National Security Agency. And it's compartmentalized in every one of these buildings. From small to large, you'll have a room or a whole floor that's NSA computer with NSA private contractors And that's just one agency. There's Defense Intelligence and 18 others. And now the news is admitting that two-thirds of intelligence gathering against the American people are done by outside private groups. So I want to get into that first. Then we'll cover Barack Obama and his hoax about shutting down Guantanamo Bay. And then we'll get into what bank nationalization means, because it's not bank nationalization. There's always lies within lies within lies within lies. This is private Federal Reserve. What appears now to be an internal war between the bankers, we know they engineered it, to where they're even gobbling up Federal Reserve family shareholders, and there's a war where they're using governmental regulation, but private offshore stock ownership in the Fed, Federal Reserve, to come in and forcibly take these over, and then they say it's secret how much money, taxpayer money, is being given, but they give us the blank check number of $8.5 trillion, and then they then, through executive fiat, not even through law, because that's what I keep saying, they don't need a new banker bailout, a new law. The thing they passed October 3rd gave omnipotent police state power to the private Federal Reserve, and they kept claiming government oversight, government transparency, and then now they admit there is none, it's secret. And so I'm going to try to break that down. It's actually very simple, but also complex to explain. It's just an absolute outrageous stinking fraud. And notice there's no talk of prosecutions, no talk of arrest, no talk of bankers being in trouble and brokerage firms for selling derivatives that were based on nothing and having insurance companies fraudulently certify the debt as good and certify the instruments as AAA-rated U.S. government-backed gold quality. Literally as good as gold investment is what it means. I mean, Enron stole a couple hundred billion and stole the pension funds. It was a money laundering, cocaine, heroin dealing, money laundering operation that also stole from states. You know, they'd steal $1 billion a week sometimes in California. And then their internal memos came out where they said, if we turn the power off every night for an hour, it creates the perception that there's actually not enough power and the public will accept not having the power. And, of course, I went on air at the time and knew that trick and said, they're turning the power off on purpose to jack up the prices. Enron is a fraud. Enron is a scam. Mr. White, the head of their California division, later became Secretary of Defense when Bush got in, would lead the California legislature and U.S. congressmen and women through a fake computer room with fake charts showing fake energy trading. They just made up the numbers every day and said, you know, we're going to make your power cost 20 times, 25 times what it did previously. And then it turned out Schwarzenegger was meeting with them privately at the time, and that came out in the news at the Beverly Hills Hotel with the head of Enron, with Melkin, and others. And I was no fan of Governor Gray Davis. In fact, I even got sucked on early on into the recall of him. Then they bait and switch with Schwarzenegger. But then the news said Schwarzenegger was fighting Enron, and Schwarzenegger was fighting the energy ripoff. So when that all came out, the news in unison said Schwarzenegger was fighting Enron and the scam, and that Governor Gray Davis had done it when Gray Davis was fighting him. And so was saying it was a scam, and that's why they removed him, and then he gets blamed for it. I mean, it is so sick. And all the conservatives, oh, Gray Davis is a gun grabber. He's bad. We got to get rid of him. Then Arnold comes in and starts even more gun grabbing, and they say, well, that's good. You know, we need to go ahead and have some sensible gun restrictions. I mean, that's what I mean. It's just, it's all twisting. They're either throwing it in your face and telling you something evil is good, or they're flat out lying, or it's local news that never gets national attention, and then you've got to vet that and check it. So people ask how we arrive at news and how we trust what. We have an overlay understanding of knowledge and how the system works and who the players are and what their tricks are, and that new and that old dogs don't learn new tricks and how they operate. And so we're constantly reassessing our analysis, adding new information. We're not perfect. We're learning more and more, though, exponentially, like a computer. We are an organic computer, electrochemical computer. Here in my operation, I am constantly integrating and getting better, getting quicker, getting faster, understanding their nuances, understanding their tricks, to where I can project out years ahead exactly what they're going to do. I mean, a lot of times my mind just burns with understanding and connections, and just it moves like a million miles an hour. And I'm nobody special. Everybody can learn these skills. It's just like if you were to watch football and study a football team for 20 years and eat, drink, and sleep it, you would know every play they were going to call. And you know, you would burn with football. You would just know all about it. But men and women use their skills. Women use their skills for detail and facts on how to look sexy. Men do it to how to act cool and know all about football and show off with their sports scores. Folks, all I do is study these people. And let me tell you something. They're so horrible and wicked and evil and backstabbing and hateful of goodness that people accuse me of making things look worse than they are. But notice as time goes on, it turns out things are worse than I've said. See, people say I'm saying things are worse than they really are, but as in hindsight, it's always worse than I've said. You understand? I'm conservative about what I present here to you. We are under total engineering, ladies and gentlemen. We are under total attack, all of us together. And when we come back, I'm going to get into this NSA situation, then into the privatization, the hijacking of U.S. bank accounts and investments. That's what this really is, because they say they're grabbing the pension funds and investments and the bank accounts and bringing those under government control. And then giving the private bankers governmental cover. The internationalists already own Bank of America. They already own J.P. Morgan Chase. So to properly name this, it's a fake nationalization when it's really an international privatization theft of everything. And then they're going to claim that the move was a privatization, a nationalization to save it. Okay. And then we'll get into Obama and his hoax with the shutting down of Guantanamo. Nothing's getting shut down, folks.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones, only on the GCN Radio Network.
With the National Security Act of 1947, the private Federal Reserve that had taken over in 1913 was able to create a parallel shadow government. They then began surveilling U.S. and foreign industry that was not controlled by them and used the stolen intercepts, spies they put into companies around the world to shut them down, federal regulators to shut down entrepreneurs and all of their competition. The main tool of the NSA and the CIA in spying on the American people and industry and other federal agencies was to ensure that it was kept quiet, that the United States was giving the atomic bomb to the Russians, the aluminum plants, the weapon systems. It was also used, again, to steal and take over industry unfairly with this inter-allied crime syndicate, and to begin bringing in LSD, cocaine, heroin, and then having U.S. government officers start the drug dealing operations and set up subsidiary drug dealers that would work for them throughout the United States. And then through Hollywood, it's now been declassified. They hyped up the drug culture to get the kids on it because they didn't just want to sell them drugs. They also wanted to put them in the prisons that the big drug cartels owned through the banks and were building. And so that's what the NSA does. And it tracks trends. It finds out what the people are concerned with. It engages in real polling, real sampling, to try to manipulate and lie to the public to see what lies and deception work for the people. It's heavily compartmentalized. And more than two-thirds of the surveillance of the population is now done by contractors. The private contractors are Google, they're Time Warner, they're Yahoo, the CIA, and we've had CIA officers on and listed the names of those out of MIT that started Google. It is a globalist front company, just like IBM or Microsoft. That's why it's allowed to break all the rules, do whatever it wants. It's been given rule and copyright over all books ever published by the UN and the U.S. government. They're just saying it can do whatever it wants with digital books. I mean, it's just insane. And so they've got all these other private defense contractor companies that have HUMET people on the ground. Their business is control and domination and dumbing down and taking over cities and compromising police chiefs and getting into positions of total control. And there were all these denials. Alex Jones, the crazy man, he says something called Echelon exists. He says the NSA exists. I mean, even in the mid-90s, the news would say the NSA didn't exist. Talking to the public like they're a bunch of idiots. And I guess they were a bunch of idiots because they bought it. And then I've been telling you ever since I got on air that they're listening to everything, they're tracking everything. Okay? You shouldn't let that be a chilling effect to what you're doing. They're the criminals. They're the out-of-control people. They're the globalists destroying the United States and the Republic. So people always say, well, what do you have to hide? Let them listen. Well, in a sick way, that's true. Hey, criminals, I know you're listening. You're scumbags. You're filth. You're trash. You're un-American garbage. You're drug dealers. You're involved in white slavery. You're involved in every wickedness imaginable. And we are aware that you're an alien group, alien to our way of life, to our republic and a free society. And with Bush, after they staged the 9/11 attacks, they thought this is the come-out time. This is the time to let the slaves know. And remember the New York Times, November 15, 2002, William Sapphire, you are a suspect. Every purchase you make with a credit card, every magazine subscription you buy and medical prescription you fill, every website you visit and email you send or receive, every academic grade you receive, every bank deposit you make, every trip you book, and every event you attend, all these transactions and communications will go into what the Defense Department describes as a virtual centralized grand database. To this computerized dossier in your private life, from commercial sources at every piece of information the government has about you, passport application, driver's license, bridge toll records, judicial and divorce records, complaints from nosy neighbors to the FBI, your lifetime paper trail, plus the latest hidden camera surveillance, and you have the Super Snoop's Dream, a total information awareness network about every U.S. citizen. And then it goes into announcing that this was publicly announced in the Homeland Security package and passed into law. And then we still have debates about whether or not this is going on. And then after it came out that the felon, Admiral Poindexter, was running it, they said, okay, we've suspended the private program. It was a private group in Virginia that was just nexusing all this in. And it itself was the front. And then it turned out they just changed the name. It's actually in one building that was about 400 yards away from where the Bilderbergs met last year. Right by the National Reconnaissance Office and all these private defense contractors. I mean, I was walking around in the building in the hotel before they kicked us out 2 hours before the Bilderbergs arrived, 3 hours before, and you'd walk by, and they'd have headphones on, going, that's not an NSA parameter. We go with the Navy system. That's how you encode it down the downlink overload. And I'm buying a Gatorade in the gift shop, and right beside me is the NSA.
Pienso que un sueño para sido no volverá más. Y me pintaba las manos y la cara de azul. Y de provisa en el viento rápida me debo y me echo a volar en el cielo infinito.
Yeah, to briefly finish that story, I told in more detail during Bilderberg 2008 in June in D.C. in Virginia, Chantilly, to be precise, right on the border of D.C. The Bilderbergs start showing up at about 2. They kick you out of the hotel at noon. They have people calling our room telling us to get out by 11. So the guys are all up in the hotel room videotaping out the window as world leaders, people like the president of Spain and folks are pulling out and they're playing national anthems. And I go, all right, I'm going downstairs to get you guys some Gatorades and some water. They were thirsty. And I say, and then we'll leave in about 30 minutes, you know, get everything packed up. And if you walk around the upstairs floors with all the conference rooms, there are people in black suits and communications equipment and big table conference rooms set up and FBI people and State Department protective detail. We ran into them. Later they brought Marines on, armed Marines in uniform. That was after we were kicked off. And so I walk in to the gift shop. And there's an office off the gift shop on the bottom floor. And there was a cooler right by the door, and I'm getting some Gatorade out, and I hear him going, I'm tracking him, I've got him. It's through. No, they're moving over there. All right, do you have that? Well, I'm having a problem with that download from the satellite. Well, what we do over at NSA is we integrate that through the Air Force's such and such. But that's not how it's done in the Army. They use it. Well, I'm telling you that this piece of, and then they would mention some pieces of equipment. I'm kind of sitting there, and then they look and see me and close the door. But I keep listening, and they were talking about surveilling people and listening to phones, probably our phones, or somebody else's. I guess they were also, I mean, I know they surveil other world leaders and listen to their phone lines and track them. I mean, obviously that's going on when they all come in secretly to meet. And it just blew me away. Absolutely blew me away, because there they were, hours before the Bilderberg group shows up, minutes before we leave, and then as soon as we get in the truck, in the van, in the parking lot, the police pull up and block us and then get on the radio and then pull back out and let us leave. And this sedan follows us and follows us around town. We get out, videotape him. He drives off. And then later, we saw that guy and the person, two of the people, separate people, that came to the other hotel we were staying at afterwards and said, "Hey, Alex, how you doing?" They'd sit down while I was eating and say, "We ought to go take over and basically attack the State Department. You want to take a bunch of protesters over to the State Department? I know how to get in there, and we can take over." And I said, "Come on, man. You don't think I don't know you're a Fed?" And then the guy says something, I'm going back from memory, like, "Yeah, well, I don't think you'd have much problem in there with the State Department protective detail." And it's, you know, like a 45, 50-year-old big 6'4" guy. And C-Think, this big, well, they made some great films. They won South by Southwest a few years ago with another film. They're making a new one that I'm prominent in called The New World Order. It's going to be at South by Southwest this year and a bunch of Sundance and a bunch of other places. And he's sitting there when the guy leaves, and he goes, "You know that guy's a cop." And I go, "Yeah, obviously I know it's some kind of Fed." And he goes, "Yeah, well, you know, my dad's a retired Chicago detective, and I know cops and feds, and that's a Fed." And I go, "Yeah, I know a yellow thing with a beak walking and quacking and swimming's a duck, too. I believe me, I know it's a cop." And then we'd have other people walk up the parking lot. "Hey, Alex, I'm a big fan. You want to attack these people? You want to do?" And I'm just like, "Come on, man. You guys have assessed me. You know I'm here to cover this as the media. Knock it off." And they'll just look at you and go, just seeing how you're doing, making sure everything's all right. Have a good one. See you later." So that's what goes on in this country. And boy, they were watching folks. I don't know if it was a staged event to bring in more security or whatever, but some fellow on the Prison Planet forum, which, by the way, is that back up yet? Is the Prison Planet forum back up yet? It is. Good, thank you. Went in there and said, "I'm scared with all these feds around. Maybe I should bring a gun tomorrow, my 22. Well, that guy gets out, goes up to the protest, and they grab him, drag him off somewhere, and reportedly he didn't have anything on him, so nothing happened. But then we later asked the police, and they said, "Oh, yeah, the feds were watching your website and saw the guy say that." I mean, folks, that's why. It isn't Alex Jones you've got to worry about. Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com are watched. You don't want to act like idiots on there. I mean, this isn't a game. This is the real world. The New World Order is real. The FEMA camps are real. The NSA spying on us is real. This isn't a game. And I can't say that strong enough to all of you out there. So let me now just get into the NSA. It's now come out that 2.5 years ago, Bush gets up and gives a speech and says, "We do not listen to any U.S. citizens without a warrant. These rumors you've heard of it are complete lies and conspiracy theories." And you could just Google Bush says NSA not spying on American people or something. You can pull up the videos. He said it repeatedly. And then it came out, "Okay, we're just listening to Al-Qaeda when they call America. Is that okay? You know, Al-Qaeda's about to attack." And then, "Oh, and they're listening to the troops overseas and in the country, and they're spying on journalists, and they're spying on Congress, and they're spying, and then now they come out and say, okay, we're spying on everybody. People are saying, well, how do they have a few, you know, 100,000 bureaucrats listening to hundreds of millions? Well, they have computers with keywords and algorithms. Same Google system, same search engine system that searches the whole World Wide Web in seconds. It's the same system, but with computers that transcribe the audio. And that's a 30, 40-year-old technology. I mean, my dad was at UT in the late 60s, and they already had computers and internet and keyword recognition in some of the research departments he saw. I mean, this stuff's old. Everything you're seeing's old. It's just packaged and slicker now. God knows what they've really got. And then it came out to kind of humiliate you that the NSA likes to sit around and listen to phone sex. Now, again, that's just the NSA. These are the constrained bureaucrats at NSA that are compartmentalized. The higher-ups that are getting the feeds from the private intel groups, these are hardcore criminals. All of them have dealt cocaine, heroin, run white slavery, money laundered. They've all got a criminal past with government or private agencies, and then they're the trusted upper crust of the elite that have access to larger areas. The people blowing the whistle are mid-level analysts, or their interpreters brought in, like Sybil Edmonds, and then she hears the government going, yeah, we're staging terror attacks. We're dealing the cocaine and heroin. We're selling weapon systems to get the money to fund it through black ops. We're going to use drills to cover up this operation. And she's going, my God, she's listening to the CIA and other agencies, Mossad, MI6, she said, as much as she can say under the federal gag order, handling the supposed terrorists who were really CIA and other agency Mossad-handled Arabs out of Saudi Arabia that the globalists work closely with, who were dealing narcotics and money laundering in the U.S., and then were told on the side, take part in a takeover drill of aircraft. And we know they were going to the Defense Language School and other schools, and that there were those drills, live action that day, to overlay with the NORAD drill. I mean, we know exactly what happened. I mean, we know who they were. They got on planes. We don't know what happened after. But it's on record they were feds and that they'd leave the country to go spy on al-Qaeda, you know, real Muslim groups that they call al-Qaeda, because they were operatives to do that. And then they'd be flagged as terrorists by the State Department computers, and they'd be ordered in Ottawa and in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. So in Canada and Saudi Arabia, the embassy heads, the visa heads would be ordered to let them in. They'd say, no, I'm not letting them in. I'm not going to commit a crime. And so they get a higher-up call from the State Department saying, look, that's a CIA cover. These are not al-Qaeda. Don't worry. Let them in. On record. It's all on record. It's all on record. So the Arabs especially out there, you know, if you're patriotic to the United States and people, they try to recruit you to black ops, and you see all these TV ads trying to recruit Arabs right now, they're recruiting a lot of you to set you up. I mean, I hope you know that. I hope you know they're going to use you as a patsy. Well, there's a good chance they are. This is an untrustworthy, criminal, totally ruthless group. And, I mean, if you want to be on the news as the new terrorist, and I have no doubt Obama's people are going to stage more terror attacks. Clinton's are the ones that wrote the book on it, bombing OKC. You know, the big opening salvo of modern stage terror inside the United States. So look out. But I thought I'd play just to analyze it. It's much worse than what this newscast is even saying. This is Keith Oberman. I wonder if Oberman's going to cover this as the spying continues. Because it's all continuing. You know, they're acting like Obama's going to stop this because he'll speak out against it publicly. Bush spoke out against it publicly 3 years ago and said it wasn't happening. But meanwhile, they were in the New York Times and everywhere else announcing months after 9/11, when they knew you were scared and thought you'd buy it, you just didn't buy. Yeah, we're tracking every email, every purchase, everything you do for your safety. Remember, I read it. Every purchase you make, every credit card, every magazine subscription you buy, medical prescription you fill, every website you visit, an email you send, and what's Obama doing? Making all your prescriptions be uploaded to the feds now. Every academic grade you receive, every bank deposit you make, every trip you book, every event you attend, all these transactions, communications will go into a Defense Department describes as a virtual centralized grand database. They also released this publicly to chill everybody else that was awake to them so we'd stop communicating and say, oh, I don't want to get on a list. Folks, you're all already on list. The only hope we have, we're in the hot water right now. The only hope we've got is exposing all the rest of the frogs boiling that don't know they're boiling, and let's jump out of this sucker while we still got time. You don't say, oh, I'm in hot water, I better shut up and just sit here and cook. You scream bloody murder, you go wild. And it goes on to say, this computerized dossier on your private life from commercial sources and every piece of information the government has about you, passport application, driver's license, bridge toll records, judicial and divorce records, complaints from nosy neighbors to the FBI, and I would add to the local police who now upgraded and uploaded the feds, your lifetime paper trail plus the latest hidden camera surveillance, and you have the Super Snoop Dream, a total information awareness network. This is not some far Orwellian scenario. It is what will happen to your personal freedom in the next few weeks if John Poindexter gets the unprecedented power he seeks. And he did. And we're just now learning. Oh, Oberman, you're telling us. Thank you. Here's Keith Oberman with an NSA whistleblower. Here it is.
Before last night, we already knew the Bush administration had spied on some U.S. journalists inside the U.S. Last night on this newscast, we revealed the new allegation that Mr. Bush's National Security Agency was systematically, 24 hours a day, monitoring not just individual reporters, but entire U.S. news organizations, as well as other organizations, the identities of which we still don't know. Tonight in our third story, Russell Tice, the NSA whistleblower who revealed that breathtaking claim on this program last night, returns, and he is breaking more news. First, some context. In the New Yorker magazine last year, reporter Lawrence Wright revealed that the FBI had asked him about phone calls he made to a British lawyer who was representing former jihadists, calls the FBI thought that were made by Wright's college-age daughter. More than wiretapping was at work here. The name of Wright's daughter was not in the phone records. So how the hell, Wright demanded, did the FBI know his daughter's name? In 2007, Wright asked Mike McConnell, then director of national intelligence. His reply, I don't know. When Wright found it troubling that his daughter's name was on some NSA list somewhere, McConnell said, quote, it may be troublesome, it may not be.
All right, let's stop right there.
As Mr. Tice is about.
Let's stop right there. They're implying here that, again, they at least were just spying because they thought it was a call to Al-Qaeda with the journalist's daughter. No, they were spying on the journalist. Just like MI5 spies on the entire British Parliament, is constantly arresting them for no reason and harassing people. It's the unelected, illegitimate, private merc armies of the private bankers all over the world that are ruling our governments and bullying our elected legislatures and parliaments. And, I mean, under Know Your Customer and the Patriot Act, immediately your car purchase is uploaded, or your car rental, or your bank account statement. The feds, the big banks don't file a suspicious transactions report. I mean, they're supposed to do that, and they do that themselves as indentured servants for the feds. The feds are in your bank accounts. The feds just go directly into your account. It's all public, folks. I just wanted to add that part, too. That's why when you go buy a house or a car or a VCR now, they say, oh, it's Patriot Act compliance. Even if you're paying cash, we have to have your ID, getting you ready for the cashless society. Anyways, here it is.
Oh, as Mr. Tice is about to clarify, now we know. But first, yesterday, we asked the NSA to comment on his allegations. The agency declined, saying only, quote, NSA considers the constitutional rights of U.S. citizens to be sacrosanct. The intelligence community faces immense challenges in protecting our nation. No matter the challenges, NSA remains dedicated to performing its mission under the rule of law. That from a Bush holdover at NSA. No reply yet from the Obama White House. Returning to our program tonight, Russell Tice, former NSA analyst, now a very public whistleblower. Thank you again for your time tonight, sir.
Good evening. Thank you. Thanks to you.
Last night we discussed collection of phone and email data, envelope info, like the length of the call, but also the content. But the information they collected on journalists and other people, this was more than just phone and email info?
Well, as far as the information, the wiretap information that made it to NSA, there was also data mining that was involved. And at some point, information from credit card records and financial transactions was married in with that information. So of the lucky U.S. citizens, that tens of thousands of whom, that are now on digital databases at NSA who have no idea of this, also have that sort of information included on those digital files that have been warehoused.
Does this, throwing that kind of information in there too, your credit card records, where you have spent your money, does that make it clear to you who used this information or why it was used or what the goal was of gaining it? Do you have any better idea of what all of this stuff was used for?
Well, the obvious explanation would be that, you know, if you did have a potential terrorist, you'd want to know where they're spending money, mm-hmm. and you know, whether they purchased an airline ticket or something like that, and, you know, that sort of thing. But once again, we're talking about tens of thousands of innocent U.S. citizens that have been caught up in this trap that they have no clue. You know, for this thing could sit there for 10 years, and, you know, then potentially it marries up with something else, and 10 years from now they get put on a no.
And if you go to Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, where you have this article linked, you will see that we have the previous articles where they admit they were spying on Congress and listening to people's phone sex. So that's what it's about. So this sounds like it's an expose. It's really a whitewash, because the overall thing is, well, they abuse things, but they're listening to Al-Qaeda. No, they're not, okay? They're tracking everything you do. They've got NSA listening over your cell phone, even when it's off. Get that straight. Coming up, I'm going to get into what nationalization of the banks means. It's not nationalization. It's consolidation by private interests claiming it's nationalization. We have the proof. We'll also get into the cruel Obama hoax of claiming they're closing Guantanamo when they're just building camps here in the U.S. But at least they're having to claim they're doing it, showing it's unpopular. So it's being rebuked publicly. Coming up later in the hour, KRS-One is going to be a guest. A couple weeks ago, he contacted us and said that he was a big fan of the work we do and that they wanted to get on the show in studio when he was here part of his Texas tour. And then we kind of assholed around, as they say, and so now he's just going to be, on my end, not working out the right day when he was near Austin to get him in studio. He's in Dallas right now, going to be speaking to school children up there. He's been instrumental in trying to stop the, kind of gangster rap, brothers killing brothers, and he's one of the pioneering founders of hip-hop. And, of course, he's also one of the most successful, just tens of millions of albums sold. So he's going to be joining us, KRS-One, calling in the next 10 minutes or so from Texas. But he says next time he's back in Texas, he definitely wants to get in studio. So that is coming up, a very important message there with KRS-One. On the subject of this radio show, we put a banner up on Infowars.com on the right-hand side about halfway down that says support the Infowar. It did say help us save the Infowar, but really the Infowar, I mean, we're doing okay. We're paying our bills. We've expanded some, but it's not enough, and we do see the economy contracting, and so we don't want to be doing this by the hair of our chinny chin chin. And so that banner is up there because people keep contacting us every day for months saying, hey, I want to donate. Where do I donate? Well, you go to Infowars.com and you go to that banner, help us save the Infowar, support the Infowar, and you click on there. We've got a PayPal. I'm going to put a Google Pay on there, and I'm also going to put a chip in. People like different ways of contributing up there as well. And 100% of the donations will go into the operations here, 100%. Of those. I fund my own household when I do off of advertising, but most of that goes right back into the office as well. And to be able to hire more people, do a better job, make better and more frequent films, with things getting so bad and our voice being heard by more and more, it's important that we don't just stay where we're at, but that we expand. And I think that any of you that believe that, any of you that want to be part of that, purchase the books, purchase the videos. Plus, they're great films and books at Infowars.com. And even if you're totally awake, people in your circle probably aren't. Give it to them. That's a donation. Just flat out donate or support our sponsors. Spread the word about the show. That's another way to support the broadcast, because as we grow, we per capita end up getting more support as well. But it's really in your court. It is up to you whether or not we are able to grow and get more support and reach out to more people. Look at the amazing success we've had. You talk to people in the Patriot or Liberty or Awakening movement, the anti-tyranny movement, and Ron Paul said on air, half his support came from this show. I didn't ask him to say that. He said half the support came from the show. We talked to other activists, and they say 80, 90% of the time when they ask how somebody woke up, it was this radio show or my films. So, I mean, that's just amazing. That's quite a responsibility that we have. And so we're going to be attempting to expand what we're doing here. So I want to be clear. We're not in trouble. It's just that we want to do more. And frankly, if we get more financial support, I'll be able to spend my time focusing on issues and fighting the globalists and awakening people rather than worrying about, well, can I get a microphone? Can I get a camera? Can I get this server we need? I mean, we need servers right now. And that's one reason Prison Planet Forum was down. I mean, we need more support, period. So please help us. Thank you. We'll be right back.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Coming up in about 5-10 minutes, we're going to have KRS-One on, a pioneering Bronx-based hip-hop group with a socially conscious message. Boogie Down Productions is the hip-hop vehicle of rapper Chris KRS-One Parker. Parker originally formed the group with DJ Scott LaRock, who was gunned down in 87 while trying to break up a street fight and help spark KRS-One's ambitious anti-violence crusade, which he's traveling around the country right now speaking to the youth. But it was BDP's productions blend of hip-hop with reggae, dance, and rock influences that set the group apart from other message-oriented rappers, as well as KSR-One's dexterous verbosity and blunt beat sense. Growing up poor in Brooklyn and the Bronx, Chris Parker was introduced to rap music through his mother's collection of discs, including some by the Treacherous Three and Grandmaster Flash. Parker ran away from home at 13, began living on the streets during that day. He would read about philosophy and religion at the library, and at night he'd practice rapping at the homeless shelters where he lived. At age 17, he got his GED while staying in the Franklin Armory shelter in the Bronx. Parker met social worker Scott Sterling, known on weekends as DJ Scott LaRock. The two formed BDP and released Criminal Minded on the independent B-Boy label in 87. The album Smooth Grooves and Hard Rhythm foreshadowed gangster rap. In August of that year, LaRock was murdered. Parker kept going with his brother Kenny, releasing By All Means Necessary, number 75 Pop, number 18 R&B, 1988. The following year, the album introduced the rapper's style of rap and songs like My Philosophy and Stop the Violence, the latter of which Parker turned into the movement in 1989 to help curb black-on-black violence. BDP's album sold relatively well, and it goes on with just scores of albums, millions and millions sold, and just one of the icons out there of hip-hop and speaking out for 9/11 Truth and a lot of other issues. So that's why we're going to be having him on the show today. After he leaves us, we have another guest coming on the show dealing with how the government and private institutions are going to sue people on behalf of animals. And it sounds like it's for the touchy-feely little furry bunny rabbits and things. Nothing to do with that. It's about coming in, taking people's property or shutting down people's companies and saying or taxing them or fining them or feeing them and saying, oh, because you hurt the animals. And they say the government will speak for those animals. Just something, again, that sounds good, but that is a great tyranny. Just like they're going to use the polar bears, claiming they're endangered when they're not. They're at record numbers, 40-plus thousand of them just in the northern hemisphere. Just in the western part of the northern hemisphere. There's even more over in northern Russia and places. And they're just totally hyping this up so they can then regulate, take land, control who gets to build. But then the big corporations, they always get the waiver. They're always left alone and allowed to go forward with that. Also coming up, Obama officially orders Gitmo closure. U.S. President Barack Obama has signed an official order for the Guantanamo Bay detention facility to be closed within the next year. The newly inaugurated U.S. president inked three new executive orders earlier on Thursday, one of which requires the infamous Cuba-based prison be shut down. within the next year. The move comes on the second full day of Obama serving in the White House and on the heels of his promise to take a practical, pragmatic approach to foreign policy. The orders will also shut down CIA detention centers worldwide, as well as establish an interagency task force and procedure to decide on how to go forward with the detainees. All U.S. interrogators will be required to adhere to the rules set forth by the Army Field Manual, which is what we've been hearing for 3-4 years. That's the same thing. They claim they're adhering to the Army Field Manual. And if you read the fine print, they say they're going to keep Guantanamo open for a year and then move people to other bases and other camps. So the good news is here is the people have rejected these secret death camps and secret torture centers, and so the establishment's having to claim that they're reversing it. But the sad part is that it appears they're not going to reverse any of it. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, to the bottom of the hour, KRS-One is our guest. He's on a Texas tour. And coming up in a little while, he's in North Texas, going to be speaking to a group of high schoolers about how horrible the shoot-em-up culture is that we have, not just with black youth, but Hispanic, whites. It's happening in rural areas. He really speaks out against all the gangster rap, go out and kill each other, go out, deal drugs, all of that. And he has really turned millions of people away from that. But he's a pioneering hip-hopper, sold millions and millions of records. In August of 1987, his partner, LaRock, was murdered, and that's what got him going on a Stop the Violence movement that went nationwide in 1989. And again, so this is the good hip-hop. This is the stuff that's really uplifting, and he just does an amazing job. He's also involved with 9/11 Truth, and he's anti-war. And we're just really excited to have KRS-One on the show with us. It's great to have you, sir.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Tell us what you're doing in Texas right now.
Well, you know, you could tell by my voice. Last night we were in Dallas screaming at the audience to stop the violence. And it's funny because people don't seem to act until you act. And this is why we're here, to cause peace. So, you know, we did a community college yesterday where we discussed violence and discussed the role of violence in society, meaning that nature, we discussed at the college that nature is violent, and really violence is sort of like morality, that it is very selective when it comes to your society. Like, you have natural violence, but then we're supposed to have civilization where we rise above the natural state of humanity, really, and kind of get along with one another, if I may use a better term. You know, just be civilized if you can. Try to love one another. Try to respect one another. You know, this kind of thing. But if your leaders are pushing violence, if all you see on television is this is the way you're going to solve a problem, bash the guy's head in, and even verbally to say, well, you got to get a little aggressive with your voice. Everything that points to aggression later on in life points to stress, points to anxiety, and most important, guilt. And so we were trying to tell the kids yesterday, which many of them totally understood what was going on. We said, look, Stanford University says that violence is caused in society by illiteracy. Like, if you can't read, you know, you express yourself physically. Now, I don't know if I agree with that totally, but I'm just citing the study. The United Nations points out that poverty is the cause of violence. If you don't have enough to eat, nothing on your back, nothing over your head, you're quicker to lash out at somebody.
The Pentagon has done studies in the 40s, 50s, right through to today, that within 4 days of no food or water, most people start stealing. Within 10 to 15, 90%+ of people start murdering for food. So that's just
wow.
A fact.
Wow, you just added to my lexicon of truth here. Wow, really? 4 days?
Absolutely. And with the, and then over 90% will start killing after 10 to 15, depending on where they did the study.
You know, this is important for leadership because in a lot of ways our society is kept deprived so that these violent acts can continue. And people make money on violence, which was my last point, which I think resonates well with young people. You know, young people don't want to be slaves, simple and plain. And when you point out that, you know, if you can't control yourself or at least find another way to resolve conflict, you know, you're playing into that game, that prison industrial complex.
Man, you've discovered the same thing that I've discovered, but you articulate it simpler and in a better, succinct way than I do, that I found that if you tell young people, you know, don't go out and fight, don't go out and do drugs, don't go, you know, that's for older people or you'll get in trouble, they'll still go do it. But if you explain to them that this is a system and that the system wants them to get in trouble and wants to get them in the system and that they win by being professional, by doing well in life, as the French say, best revenge is living well, that they win, then, I mean, that's one of the things I like about the black Muslim movement. I have some criticisms as well, but, I mean, overall, they have that message, and it has really been successful for a lot of folks.
Yeah, and the point is that our children are not stupid. Our young people are not stupid. If you explain that this is all part of a plan to keep you subordinate to commercial interests, your little act of violence is a ticket for you to now become part of the problem, really, on a social level.
Well, it's what you said. I mean, it's the new slavery. They want to institutionalize you, get you on welfare, get you in prison, get you in the psychiatric system, get you in debt.
Yeah, get you in debt, more importantly, by telling you, you know, well, not even by telling you, but, well, wow, you just pointed up interesting. In the courts, when you are, I guess, given justice, we may call it that, they say you're paying your debt to society. And this is very important, that paying your debt. What debt did you incur? You know, what did you get for free, you know, that you now have to pay for? What did you, you know, invest in to cause you now to have debt? And the issue is that once you explain that to our children, you say, you are being suckered, they rise right up and say, oh, hey, now I get it. You know, peace is a revolutionary strategy as opposed to something to attain.
Man, that's beautiful. And they also sell being warlike and getting in fights in the media, but then they put you in jail when you do it as strength. But it takes more strength to learn to control yourself and not be fooled.
Right. And this is what Dr. King taught, a restraint, self-restraint in the face of injustice. If you join in on the injustice, you weaken your argument, you weaken yourself. But if you can stand up to it and show the hypocrisy by being the victim of injustice, if you can withstand it, if you have the strength, the courage to withstand it, it always shows itself to be hypocritical. And no matter how powerful the opposition would be, they fall. They fall, as we've just seen Bush fly away. wow.
Shifting gears, the limited time we have with you, I can't wait till next time you're in Texas. You can come in studio here. 9/11 truth, the New World Order, eugenics, all the things that are going on. I know you're aware of a lot of that. Give us your bottom line take on that.
You know, not to get into any Obama bashing, not to on these glorious happy days for African Americans.
Well, really, you're welcome. I mean, you're welcome to say whatever you say. I mean, sure.
Here you go. But you know what? I will be truthful. And what I one of the things I point out is that, you know, the New World Order has no color, no race, no face. It's an ideology. And just because we have an African-American president, Does this now make us more palatable to the agendas of a new world order, a new world system, the whole world working? Does just because we have an African American president, does that erase the agenda that we already know is underway? And this is something that I speak about often when you talk about New World Order. You know, as we cheer Obama on, as we hope for a new world, and underline that, we hope for a new world, there are those who are saying, yes, we're willing to give you that new world. You know, we're not going to get our New World Order with this guy who looks like this or may come from this background, because it's all cosmetic. So why don't we take away this color or culture, background, ethnicity, rhetoric, and let's give you the rhetoric, the color, the guy you like.
You know what, KRS, stay there. I told him to play this song, but go ahead and cut it. We're going to come back with that. I don't want to interrupt you. Start over. This is, in fact, let's skip this break, John. Let's skip this break at PrisonPlanet.tv because I want to skip this break right now. Start over because this is such an important point. Again, the way you boil it down, that would take me an hour to explain this, is that I'm happy we've got an African-American president. That's great because I want everybody to live in peace. And but I wish that he wasn't a globalist. I wish I knew, because I've studied it, that it wasn't a deception. I wish that that in the end it's going to turn people against each other because he's going to be able to ram through the New World Order agenda. And now when I oppose it, people are going to think I don't like him because he's black.
Right. And this is what African Americans, if you're listening right now to this show, we can't get caught up in this. Truth has to be the new agenda for why you argue. Truth, 9/11 truth. Truth. If you got information, if you know what's going on, you can't deny the truth. And as much as I appreciate just the fact that I know my elders and ancestors wished for this day. They wished for an African-American president. But then when you ask my people, but why do you want an African-American president? What do you think an African-American president is going to do different than any other ethnic group that becomes president? What do you think? We all become stumped at that point. You know, we all start talking about just this blind loyalty, which is what I'm pretty much concerned with, which is what my point is, this blind loyalty, or just because he's African-American, he's not to be scrutinized or to be linked really with that global agenda. So, you know, once we cheer him on, we respect, we're proud, we're this, we're that. We all talking about getting back to work and rolling our sleeves up, and we got work to do in America. But what work are you doing?
Exactly. Well, notice there's no specifics in what he says, but when you look at what he's really saying, a domestic 18 to 24 military boot camp to serve the government, and he says, I want a new world order, and all of his advisors are involved in eugenics. And then one of the first things he does is fund abortions and the whole UN agenda, which we know is euthanasia, and so much more in Africa, in China. I mean, that's the thing. A year ago when Obama said, I'm going to end the warrantless wiretapping, I'm going to get us out of the war, I went on air and said, okay, if he doesn't bait and switch, I like Barack Obama. But then automatically he started turning up, and again, he's well-spoken, he's charismatic, he isn't this little devilish creature, Bush, who's arrogant. I mean, he comes off really slick, but I mean, that's what's so scary, is that I know it's a giant New World Order psyop, because he says, everybody get behind me, I'll make it better, you know, I'll fix it all. Meanwhile, the banker bailout is $8.5 trillion and growing by offshore banks, which we're going to have to pay back in taxes. It's the total New World Order takeover. I mean, can you specifically speak to what you were starting to get into earlier when we almost got cut off there with the break coming in that I ended? I mean, specifically, if you had 1 minute to warn Americans, not just black Americans, to not hate Obama, but to just don't suspend disbelief. Don't mindlessly turn yourself over to him, because we saw that with Hitler, Stalin, Mao, and others. I mean, every time in history we see people just mindlessly get behind something, it normally turns bad.
You actually summed it up right there. That mindless loyalty is really, and that's beyond African Americans. I mean, I would respectfully start with African Americans, because this is how the issue is being played out, that this is our president, that this is our victory, that somehow we are to be ecstatic because it's an African American president. And in a cosmetic sense, I can join in on that rhetoric, but in a truthful sense, in a scholarly sense, even in a godly sense, it's not about the president at all. Give you an example. Everyone's putting the economy on Barack Obama and say, you know, he has a plan for the economy, and he's going to do this for the economy. And, well, what is your plan, President Obama, for the economy? Not realizing that the economy has nothing to do with him.
It's run by offshore private banks. And, I mean, that's the thing,
right?
is that he's this big diversion and big distraction when he is a puppet, just like Bush was a puppet. If he tries to become a real president, it's what Hugo Chavez said last week, they'll do what they did to Kennedy.
Exactly, and Martin and all the others. Now, here's the point. If he tries to be a president for the people for real, he's going to have to go against the corporate structure that actually holds the country together, that actually put him in office. There was arguments that Hillary Clinton made in the campaign, which I find ridiculous. I mean, not her statements, but the fact that in politics, you argue with each other, you pull out everyone's faults. He ain't this, she ain't that, you did this, you said that. Then whoever wins, you kind of push all that to the side and say, well, now we have to support this guy here, and this is what it is. The president is like the manager of Burger King. You know, you only, when your fries are cold, when your hamburger isn't done right, you go to the manager. And you say, my fries are cold, I want a new hamburger, give me my money back. And the manager is there specifically to deal with your gripes. But you never get to speak to the franchise owner of Burger King. You never get to speak to the ones that really run the show. And this is the part right here that, and you said, if I have 1 minute, we kind of went over that. If there was one warning to give, it is do not mindlessly follow anyone. No one is worthy of being mindlessly followed, no matter what race they are, what religion, whatever, they could drop out of the sky. You're not to be mindlessly followed, because number one, that's un-American. True American, if we can get back over to that real aspect of checking your government, being your own law unto yourself, being independent. See, we're, this idea of supporting a president the way we are doing it, when I say we, meaning African Americans in particular, is taking away our independence, our independent thought. Are we going to check this guy for real? For real? Or are we just going to go along with the, you know, oh, it's, you know, the dollar is sinking, and you know they want to make Mexico, America, and Canada one thing, so to speak. What is going to happen to the United States? Because when you have this much debt, the only way out of it is either to enslave the people, or the people go to war against their debtors. And this, too, was American. If it got the country started.
And that's why they're moving in the troops in NORTHCOM, because they know what they're about to do to us. Our only normal response would be to physically fight back. And listen, sir, I know you've got to go speak to that high school. I'm not limiting you. If you want to hold till 40 after, we can do it, but I know you've got to get in the car and go over and speak to that group. We'll do whatever you need to. But here's the big point, my big fear. I would love a patriotic, anti-New World Order, constitutionalist black president. I would bow down and kiss his feet. And I see the trap here. In the end, when everything falls apart, and it doesn't work because it's designed not to, Obama's going to get blamed for everything, and then that's going to really destroy black and white relations, which in my life I've seen getting really good. And this whole thing's going to turn into a nightmare. And I know the New World Order is fundamentally racist and really does hate black people from my study. And I believe this is a trap. I believe this is the ultimate suckering.
Not only can I take that in as advice, but you are absolutely correct, because what we got to look at is something is being set up. I mean, do you really think that the order of the world, which is really just take resources, keep people stupid, turn us into batteries, so to speak, if this that agenda, how can that agenda just go away with a new president? Either we're talking real war in the future, like civil war here in the country in the future, or we're talking about, again, a few of us having knowledge and having freedom, because that's really what knowledge is, really what freedom is knowledge. When you're aware and they know you're aware, they really can't do much to you, even to the point of murder or trying to incarcerate you illegally. If you walk with the truth, if you have awareness, if you're one of the people like yourself, Mr. Jones, putting truth out there, making people think you're the one that they fear. And let me tell you, power only respects power. It only respects fear. It respects its own fears. It's not like what people think. Oh man, these people fear me, so they're gonna kill me. No, it's they. If you don't, if you're going along with it like sheep, you're going to the slaughter.
Exactly. But I've noticed the opposite. When you actually have a little bit of power, they respect you and smile at you and fear you. It's when you grovel to them.
It's when you grovel. When you grovel, that's when your head gets chopped off. But if you stand on your feet and say, no, I'm prepared to go against you, even if you're not, even if you know you're up against a force that you can't win, if you stand up to it, 9 times out of 10, it collapses, because their power is artificial, fake, and it's all about your compliance to their authority.
All right, KRS-One. We've got to take this break. I skipped the last one. Can you do 10 more minutes, or can you come back?
10 more minutes. Come on.
All right, you're the best. I know you got to go speak to those young people, and that's so important. I wish we would have gotten things worked out and gotten you in studio, but God bless you and your team for reaching out to us, because we're big fans of you as well. KRS-One is our guest. Stay with us.
Look at your young men fighting. Look at your women crying. Look at your young men dying.
We had tried to work out getting KRS here in studio with us, with his folks, but they ran out of time getting down here. They're up by Dallas right now, but he's coming into Austin for an event tomorrow, and he just brought up to me during the break. He said, aren't I coming into studio to tape something? So sometime tomorrow, we're going to get him here in the studio. We're going to tape an hour-long interview, and then we'll air it live at PrisonPlanet.tv during the live radio show sometime next week. And I was just talking about Obama during the break, and he was saying, Alex, you know, you're talking about how he's slicker. You know, he's nicer. He doesn't just come off like a devil. I mean, Bush really comes off like a devil, looks like a devil, the way he'd do that demonic smile, like a gremlin or something. And then KSR-1 had something important to say about that. So, KSR-1, say that in your own words.
You know, the point was that I was mentioning what you were saying was that Bush was more arrogant with his presentation, which is what pissed people off. It was the arrogance. It was, you know, we're going to do it in your face. You know, what was it? Bring it on. That attitude that pissed people off. But I was alluding to the fact that the devil is really the guy you like. Bush does look a little demonic there, or sound such, but really when you study the devil, or Satan, it's the palatableness, it's all right, it's, I'm here for you, you don't get nothing out of people telling them, look, I got these chains for you, and you better do what I say or you're going to get in these chains. Oh, people are quick to rise up on that and say, no, this is not, I'm not going in no chains. And that's why, you know, Bush kind of embarrassed himself and his family in the entire world, which I want to get to as well, because it's a controversial thing here. But yeah, the devil is palatable. It's very understanding of your problems, very approachable. It's God that is in the dark, scary places that requires not hope, but courage. Courage. Hope is for powerless people. And this was something that Obama ran on. And yes, me, I'm a philosopher, no doubt. Hope, I know the
well, this emotional. Is a false hope. I mean, this is a false hope. This is a counterfeit of hope. And they say the road to hell is wide. It's paved. You talk about the road to the truth. It isn't easy. It's painful. It's hard. I mean, I want to believe Obama's going to fix it. I want to believe my children's future is okay. I want to believe we're turning the tide. And we are in a way that they're having to give us somebody this slick who says a lot of what we want to hear, but then baits and switches.
See, to me, that's the bigger deception. That's the bigger deception right there. And now, let me raise this point about the world and global. With one presidency, okay, this Barack Obama presidency, with one presidency, the entire world is now ready for the New World Order. The world is ready. Everyone's cheering him on, not just the United States, but everybody is cheering him on. And this could be a good thing only if he stands with the people. And I don't know, as a presidency, this is where I will yield in my point. I will stop here and yield in my point and say that time will tell. We don't, every time we get a president, we don't like them in 4 years, no matter who they are, unless they pay us. Now, if you are getting paid and you got a bigger car, you put another room on the house, the New World Order is good for you. It's nice. It feels good. In fact, you don't care. Go back to Nazi Germany. You can actually see people getting marched off in railway cars, but because it's not affecting you, and you know, you're doing pretty well, you kind of allow it. So over the next 4 years, you know, I'm not into bashing any president. When George Bush was in office, I warned my people against pointing fingers at him and not being able to govern your own house, not being able to respect your own leaders. I mean, black people are selling crack cocaine on Dr. Martin Luther King Boulevard. I speak against that as well. You want to praise Dr. King one breath, but then you walk down the very street complying with what killed him. And so, really, this is about a people change. This is about, you know, the world should unite, but it should unite against that mindless globalization. The world is already united. You know, there's a new world order because there is already a true world order. And you can't have an agenda where people say, we're going to put together a new world order. Well, then what is the old world order? What is the original world order? What is this new world
well,
order?
Well, that's really the old world order is tyranny, and they're trying to sound like they're the new high-tech thing so that they're claiming that all they've already done wasn't done by them. And in that is the crux of everything.
Right.
That we have is that we have Barack Obama, and he's coming in, and he's a globalist. He's got all these globalist handlers. He's going along with a total banker takeover as they set up this new world bank that has bankrupted us by design in their own documents to get control. And he's claiming he's going to fight all that, but then with the other hand, he's actually bringing that in as the front man. What are people going to do? Because I know they're going to carry it out. I know he's going to betray people, but then try to put a spin on it and make them love their servitude, love their slavery. That's why I keep saying this is going to be painful. This is going to get hurt. Just do what I say. So they're trying to make the people love their loss of standard of living. They're trying to make being slaves be a good thing in the new change, because we all feel good as we go off to be basically euthanized.
You know, this is time to wake up. For real. It's time to wake up. And wake up in such a way that it's really about preparation as well. More people need to speak up and start scrutinizing, because even he said something which I'd like to hold our president to, which is, he said to other nations, your people will judge you not by what you destroy, but by what you can build.
Yes.
Now, I'd like to see what that really means here at home. What you can destroy versus what you can build. What are you going to build? What new thing are you going to build here? And I think he's not held to that standard, because we're so mesmerized, we're so hypnotized by the fact that this historical event has gone down. I'll say this last thing here. You know, one thing I notice over history is that just because you have a black manager, and notice the word manager, when the cities were really powerful, they didn't allow black people to run those cities. It's when the city fell, then you get a black mayor. It's when the states were powerful, you couldn't get a black statesman, a senator. It's when the state falls or has no more power, you can get a governor, a senator, etc. Now America has a black president. We have over 200 black mayors. Look at our cities. We have black leadership all over the world, really, if you just go by color. People of color are in offices all over the world, running countries. Look at the state of the world.
Well, my God. Finish up, but this is veritas. This is a new thought. I just realized this. America's totally bankrupt in the New World Order. We're essentially destroyed. We're already in the North American Union. Those documents have been declassified.
Yep.
The public doesn't know. And so absolutely, you go to Bilderberg, except for Vernon Jordan, it's all white people. They're totally racist in their own writings. And so now it's like a joke on America. They give us a messianic, slick, intelligent black guy to lead us, and it's a joke on him and the American people and black folks, because America has basically fallen.
It has fallen already, and a black president in a racist global ideology tells you right there what the state of the country is in. Look at the mayors, and you'll see. Well, let me not go that far and prophesy, but I will say that we have precedents for this. We have precedents. When a state, city, or nation has already been bought and sold, the black man is put there to now run it. And this is the other side of the argument. The other side of the argument is that maybe Barack Obama is not really part of the New World Order. Maybe he's not really part of the globalization and got to just go along with it because it's just a job. One of the things I've criticized my people about is that, oh, I'm just doing my job attitude, that you're willing to deny truth as long as you can get what you want. In that sense, maybe Barack Obama is ignorant. If we can even swallow that.
He's too smart.
I don't want to believe it. But
radiates intelligence. The guy's totally slick. He never messes up his lines. He's very well spoken. I mean, no, look. Bottom line, sir, fire out the website, and we're going to have you in studio tomorrow. That's awesome. I'm very excited. We'll call you and set that up. Tell us about your websites, both for your music and for your social movement against violence.
You know, this is the key to what I call my strategy, what I can do in society. We have a movement called Stop the Violence. And this movement started in 1989. And one thing we talked about is that power respects power. You know, when I put out the Stop the Violence movement, well, before that, my first record was called Criminal Minded. And when we put that record out, we were played everywhere. My image at the time was that street criminal image. You can go back and listen to it. But in that image, and it was only an image, I said, while I was doing Criminal Minded, I said, but I'm a teacher, and I'm coming here to show you, I'm putting these clothes on because these are the clothes you respect. You respect murder, deceit, crime. Let me put that cloak on so that you can hear what I got to say. When I gathered my audience of 3 million, which is what the record sold, I quickly put out the Stop the Violence movement afterwards, and it worked. It worked. People in my community, not everyone, but people at least had a choice. They had an alternative. They had some other awareness that they can link their emotions to. And it worked. 20 years later, we're still plagued with violence. Violence is not going to leave humanity or the human experience.
But it's not as bad as it was statistically, especially in inner cities. And I think a lot of it is because of you. And that is just such important work. Can you fire out the website? We'll put it on screen for folks.
Wow. First of all, let me pause for a minute. It's just, well, you just hit my heart right there. Wow. I appreciate that.
Well, it's true.
Website, STV. SITE.org. STVSITE.org. But we advise people, use the website only for information, to get information as well. If you really want to talk, come and see us face to face. We have meetings often. You can find out what's going on as well. Get back to using your human skills. Technology is the weapon of the new world order. We got to learn how to communicate with one another once again.
STV, talk to one another. STVsite.com. And what about the music site?
No, that's it. That's it. My music is out there. Just Google KRS-One and everything comes up. You know, you can find my music everywhere.
Are you kidding? Most of my office are huge fans.
So you can get it on Alex Jones. Maybe we should work something out there to support your movement as well, our movement through your voice, I should say. Yeah, we should. Maybe I will come there and drop some CDs and DVDs off, and not so much for sale, but for giveaways online, on the air.
Well, we've got your website up on screen. Stop the Violence site. Stop the Violence site. STVsite.org, STVsite.org, and where are you going to be tomorrow night in Austin?
The club name escapes me right now while they're knocking on my door right now. The club name escapes me. We're somewhere, I can't even remember right now.
Folks can Google KSR1 in Austin, Texas. They will find it, KRS1.
Yep.
Thank you so much for joining us, and I can't wait to have you in studio tomorrow, sir.
Alex, hip-hop stands with you, straight up. Let me say that. We stand with you. And when it's time to get on the front line, you're going to look to your right and your left, and I hope I'm right there with you.
Well, the Info Warriors, the We Are Changers, the 9/11 Truthers, the Lovers of Liberty Everywhere, stay with you, my friend, and I'll call you this afternoon and give you the address, and I look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
We're going to get on that right now.
God bless you.
Peace.
There he goes, KRS-One, ladies and gentlemen. I apologize to my next guest. Back email. We're only going to have him for about 10 minutes if he's even still there. I don't normally make a guest hold, but that was so wild and interesting and powerful information. A great article in the Register I saw, Talking Pets, Obama's Guru Wants Animals to Sue You, and he's Andrew Orlunsky. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And Andrew, thanks for coming on with us.
Hi, Alex. How are you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Good, good. I want to have you back for a full hour sometime, and I really want to pitch all the great stuff you're doing, and I apologize to you. You're also an author. Briefly, and then we're going to go to break and come back in the last 5 minutes. Sure. Tell us about Obama's new appointment, who he's moving forward with.
This is Cass Sunstein, and I think he's the regulatory czar, which I can guess that we're going to be getting more regulations and not fewer regulations. He wrote an article about 6 years ago saying that animals should be able to sue us. They should bring class action suits with lawyers like Cass, I guess, speaking on the animals' behalf.
It's amazing. And again, they could care less about the animals. This is you really sum it up. This is a cold-blooded way for groups of people to overturn democracy, saying, well, there's a small group of us, but we represent the cockroaches, and now we outnumber you.
Yeah, I mean, it's on the surface of it, it's a pretty funny story. I mean, Cass here says we've got to ban all kinds of things, including hunting, which, you know, that ain't going to happen. But there's also this movie. To me, it's really kind of strange because it gives you, in his head, there's a very idealized version of what animals are. And we all think, you know, we should treat animals well. But there's a very idealized version of what animals are. And it kind of diminishes the idea of what humans are and what we can do. I think.
If you don't kill rats, they take your house over.
Well, that's right. this is when you kind of fight these things through the courts. This is what struck me as odd, and we're getting more of it in Europe. I think more and more is when lawyers kind of speak on behalf of us. You eventually replace democracy with something where a bunch of eggheads, you know, gradually speaking a language no one else can.
Break it down for us. We got to break.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We are back live, ladies and gentlemen, breaking down the financial news, world news. Obama's cruel host claiming he's shutting down Guantanamo. Yeah, they're just moving him somewhere else. We had KRS-One on with us. Just an amazing interview there. And right now, we've got him for another 10 minutes, and I apologize, we got him on late, Andrew Orlowski. And he's a writer for the Writers' Shirt and a lot of other big publications over in England and around Europe. You can just Google his name and find out more about his writing. Okay, I mean, break down what's happening, what's really behind this, and then let's expand into your criticism of the climate change crowd. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think this is to be honest, I'd love to hear what your listeners make of this attempt to kind of be ventriloquists in the law courts on behalf of animals. I find it a little creepy in a couple of respects. As I said, it kind of diminishes the idea of what humans are once you start idealizing animals. And I went over to the Petter site this week, and they've got a campaign to get everybody to call fish sea kittens. Now, I just find that's pretty
it's re-education, notion. It's mind control, but not because they want to treat animals better, and you break this down, it's so the bureaucracy can outvote the people. Explain that.
I think with guys like Cass Sunstein, I don't think they're bad people, but the only way they think is they naturally think of regulations as a way of prohibiting people from doing something they don't like. And I lived in the States for a few years. Coming back to Britain, you have a party in power which has kind of given up on politics. It doesn't know what it's doing, so it regulates. We have a weird, peculiar problem. Two-thirds of the legislation, the regulations that are passed in Britain, are never put before Parliament. They're, some bureaucrat stuffs them out somewhere they're called control orders, ministerial orders. So people don't discover them for years.
Well, you remember the case in New York about 12 years ago where the rat was eating the guy's tomatoes, so he beat it to death and they arrested him?
Ah, oh, no. Well, I mean, this just gives, you know, law enforcement and bureaucrats something to do, I think. It's, you know, it's crazy.
But, I mean, this shows us where Obama's coming from, though, that this is the guy he's going to put in charge of regulations.
Well, I don't know. Obama seems like your previous distinguished guest, KRS-One, said, Obama's a pretty smart guy. I think with issues like this, And maybe even with climate change, he knows these are stinking policies. Everybody's going to hate. I think he's going to keep a real big distance from it.
But the point is that this is the mindset of the people that he's bringing in.
Yeah, how do you say it? They're legalistic. They kind of, they're the guys who would argue how many angels will be on a pin, but they won't know what a pin's for. You know, they're really kind of, it's like a different cast of people. And I come across this all the time. I think this is a curse of being a constitutional lawyer. I guess you spend 20 or 30 years in academia debating really abstract things. And the law just becomes an instrument of achieving political success. It becomes a shortcut. Now, to me, that kind of diminishes the idea of democracy. Hey, if you've got a good idea, put it out to the people. Treat people intelligently. And, use the democratic route.
But what about the United States, where they're using the Patriot Act on thousands of non-terror-related cases, including a woman spilling her Bloody Mary?
Well, I missed that story. What happened there? Do you want to recap?
She was on the airplane. The kids knocked it over. She spatted one of them on the leg. And then it said in the L.A. Times, it said, not even cussing, but arguing is an act of terrorism. And so she's now been charged with terrorism under the USA Patriot Act and isn't being given due process.
Jeez. Well, I've got a funny little detail for you. The Metropolitan Police have defined one of the functions of protecting the public from terrorism.
Well, stay there. Let's hear about it in 1 minute. Back in 1 minute.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Andrew Orlowski is our guest. He writes for one of my favorite publications, The Register. Check it out online. Just Google The Register. You can't miss it. Or whattheregister.com.co.uk. Okay, we got 4 minutes left with you, sir. Then, folks, I'm coming back with a bunch of news and your phone calls for the balance of the transmission. With a lot happening, your chance to respond to the coronation of Lord Obama and a lot more. Shifting gears, it's the same thing they do when they say the polar bears are in danger, they're threatened by global warming, and they say there's a consensus, every scientist says it's real.
Yeah, I mean, I take a. It's way. It's pretty crazy over here in Europe. If you even publish a contrary point of view, you get heaps of stuff poured
They're
over.
They're trying
your
to
head.
Make that illegal. They're trying to make that illegal. But you were telling a story. I interrupt. It's an insane show, sir. That's how I operate. I'm sorry.
No. That's cool.
Going back to the police in London. I'm sorry.
I just figured this might amuse your readers. One of our guys got hold of the police operating manual for, it's kind of complicated, but it's part of the stop and search. That's part of the Terrorism Act. And they put in a word that, this is advice for the police, it is important that officers take out every opportunity to deter and disrupt terrorist operations, but they added the phrase, and provide public reassurance.
Oh, listen, that happened to me in London. Guys that work for me in London, it happens to them. They get put in these terror databases. But going back to the Helter Skelter interview here, going back to, that's the same thing, saying now groups or governments or individuals will represent animals and that their vote will count as more than the rest of us. That's the same thing with the polar bears. They get to then take control governmentally of the entire area of the pole, claiming it's for the polar bears. It has nothing to do with them.
Well, I've got a kind of I've looked at the subject, and I mean, Alex, my position is I'm an agnostic because I look at all the arguments for what might be causing the climate change, which changes all the time, and I haven't seen a really strong scientific case from anyone. So that's a good position to be in, I think. But what I see is the kind of relentless background of you can't do certain things, that we're all doomed, and certainly Obama's other scientific policy advisor is this guy who predicted catastrophes for America and the rest of the world every few years. I can't understand the mentality of people who realize, you know, the world is kind of okay. It could be better, but we are not facing an environmental catastrophe as far as I can see. If there is one, it's not one I'm going to be able to do very much about.
Well, if we do have one, it's going to be genetic engineering or nuclear weapons. It's certainly not the climate change. We have seasons. I mean, we have ice ages. We have Hyberian maxims. It goes up and down.
Yeah, but I think there's a subtle kind of background to all this, isn't there? Is that it makes us feel bad about almost everything we do.
Yeah, it's to make us feel like we're bad, humans are evil. Sorry, go ahead, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, it makes us think that resources are limited, and to me, that's a crazy idea. If you look around you, almost every resource we have has been created. We're going to be okay as long as we keep inventing stuff and making sure we can all get hold of it. Uranium was no good to a caveman. that's a great example.
Absolutely. Well, do you have a private website or someplace people can see all your writings other than the register.com?
Yeah, they can go to andrewolofsky.com, and then they'll find a heap of stuff. It's a blog format, and I welcome email and comments.
Well, I've seen your writing for years, and then I want to have you back for an official maiden voyage for a full hour where
Alex, sure.
Because you're wit and the different angles you cover things. I mean, I agree with about 95% of what you say and do. The other 5%, I mean, you're just a really interesting fellow, and we put your website up on screen. Put it back up on
That's
screen.
Great.
You bet, and we'll talk to you in the near future. I know you're going to be busy coming up the next few months, but after that, I promise you'll come back on.
I'd love to be back. Thanks, Alex, and all the best. Take care.
Hey, thank you. Take care. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to come back after this quick break and get into the economy, the news, and a lot more. Stay with us.
Before last night, we already knew the Bush administration had spied on some U.S. journalists inside the U.S. Last night on this newscast, we revealed the new allegation that Mr. Bush's National Security Agency was systematically, 24 hours a day, monitoring not just individual reporters, but entire U.S. news organizations, as well as other organizations, the identities of which we still don't know. Tonight in our third story, Russell Tice, the NSA whistleblower who revealed that breathtaking claim on this program last night, returns, and he is breaking more news. First, some context. In the New Yorker magazine last year, reporter Lawrence Wright revealed that the FBI had asked him about phone calls he made to a British lawyer who was representing former jihadists, calls the FBI thought that were made by Wright's college-age daughter. More than wiretapping was at work here. The name of Wright's daughter was not in the phone records. So how the hell, Wright demanded, did the FBI know his daughter's name? In 2007, Wright asked Mike McConnell, then director of national intelligence. His reply, I don't know. When Wright found it troubling that his daughter's name was on some NSA list somewhere, McConnell said, quote, it may be troublesome, it may not be, you don't know. As Mr. Tice is about to clarify, now we know. But first, yesterday we asked the NSA to comment on his allegations. The agency declined, saying only, quote, NSA considers the constitutional rights of U.S. citizens to be sacrosanct. The intelligence community faces immense challenges in protecting our nation. No matter the challenges, NSA remains dedicated to performing its mission under the rule of law. That from a Bush holdover at NSA. No reply yet from the Obama White House. Returning to our program tonight, Russell Tice, former NSA analyst, now a very public whistleblower. Thank you again for your time tonight, sir.
Good evening. Thank you. Thank you.
Last night we discussed collection of phone and email data, envelope info, like the length of the call, but also the content. But the information they collected on journalists and other people, this was more than just phone and email info?
Well, as far as the information, the wiretap information that made it to NSA, there was also data mining that was involved. And at some point, information from credit card records and financial transactions was married in with that information. So the lucky U.S. citizens, that tens of thousands of whom, that are now on digital databases at NSA who have no idea of this, also have that sort of information included on those digital files that have been warehoused.
Does throwing that kind of information in there too, your credit card records, where you have spent your money, does that make it clear to you who used this information or why it was used or what the goal was of gaining it? Do you have any better idea of what all of this stuff was used for?
Well, the obvious explanation would be that, you know, if you did have a potential terrorist, you'd want to know where they're spending money, mm-hmm. and you know, whether they purchased an airline ticket or something like that, and, you know, that sort of thing. But once again, we're talking about tens of thousands of innocent U.S. citizens that have been caught up in this trap that they have no clue. You know, for this thing could sit there for 10 years and, you know, then potentially it marries up with something else, and 10 years from now they get put on a no-fly list, and they won't have a clue why.
All these tens of thousands of people that you refer to, do they at least have possible ties to terrorists, like the story of this New Yorker magazine reporter where there was a phone call made that at least is a starting point, or do they not even have that?
In most cases, they don't have that at all. This is garnered from algorithms that have been put together to try to just dream up scenarios that might be information that is associated with how a terrorist could operate. Like I mentioned last night, the 1 to 2 minute the pizza delivery call, mm-hmm. And things of that nature, of which an innocent citizen could be easily, you know, tied into these things. And once that information gets to NSA and they start to put it through the filters there, where they have language interpreters and stuff, and they start looking for word recognition. If someone just talked about the daily news and, you know, mentioned something about the Middle East, they could easily be brought to the forefront of having that little flag put by their name that says potential terrorist. And of course, you know, this U.S. citizen wouldn't have a clue.
This massive thing obviously did not grow of its own accord. Do you know, or do you have an educated guess as to who authorized this and who developed this?
I have a guess where it was developed. I think it was probably developed out of the Department of Defense. Mm-hmm. And this is probably the remnants of a total information awareness that came out of DARPA. That's my guess. I don't know that for sure.
The previous reports of individual incidents suggest they were looking for leak sources. In 2006, the former NSA director, Michael Hayden, was asked if he targeted political opponents of the Bush administration, and he refused to answer. Was that one of the factors in determining which journalists they targeted?
I don't know the answer to that, but, you know, from the avenue that I know about, everyone was collected. So, mm-hmm. you know, they sucked in everybody, and at some point they may have cherry-picked from what they had, but I wasn't aware of who got cherry-picked out of the big pot.
I didn't have time to play that key part. It's much worse than what Oberman's saying, so we played that so we could break that down. People need to stop living in denial about how bad the surveillance is. We're going to make a lot of calls now for the balance of the broadcast and get into Obama's deception with Guantanamo Bay, saying, well, we're probably going to close it in the next year. You know, the headline is he's closed it. And it's, well, we're going to try to close it or figure out how to close it in the next year and what we're going to do with these people. Well, the Pentagon already said a year ago, more than a year ago, that they were going to move them to other bases and create a more judicial process that isn't just openly, we can grab you secretly, hold you secretly, execute you secretly. But all that stuff is still on the books in the Enemy Commissions Act, the Enemy Combatants, I'm having one of those brain moments. It's the John Warner Defense Authorization Act deals with taking over the states and martial law. PD-51 deals with continuity of government, where the Congress and the states have no power. Will Obama repeal all of those? Those are a question we've got to ask. You're not hearing anything about that. It's all about how he's getting rid of Guantanamo. And then it's the Military Commissions Act. I was calling it the Enemy Commissions Act. It's the Military Commissions Act that turns a U.S. citizen secretly, they can secretly issue this finding, not from a court, but from the president, the Defense Department, or their designates, and then secretly snatch and grab you when you disappear. They can torture you and then use that evidence in their secret tribunals. If the military secret tribunals find you not guilty, higher-ups can still find you guilty. I mean, it's not even a kangaroo court. It is worse than that, so we'll go over some of that. I got Bob Chapman coming on. I don't usually have him on twice a week, but I'm going to have him on for about 10, 15 minutes later in the hour after we take some calls, because I want to get his specific take from my analysis. I want to see if he concurs with it about what they're doing with the, quote, nationalization of the banks. It isn't really a nationalization. We'll tell you what it really is. But right now, let's go to your phone calls. Craig in New York disagrees. First up, go ahead.
Hi, Alex. Thanks for letting me on. I told the guys I called up to disagree, so you really do believe in open dialogue. You really don't screen the calls. So I just want to say you're honest with that, and I respectfully disagree. I think you exaggerate a lot of things in the show, and I think that hurts putting the information out there, because someone finds out you exaggerated and go, oh, everything you say is BS.
Okay, let me stop you. Specifics, sure, of what I exaggerate about.
Okay, for example, when you talk about NORAD drills on September 11th, and you say that it was for the same targets, the Twin Towers, the Pentagon, there were different drills on September 11th, for example. The drills for those targets, Twin Towers, Pentagon, were earlier drills in March. It's when you...
No.
Yes, sir.
No, they ran drills 2 years before, 6 months before, 2 months before, the week before. And so this is cherry-picking, and if I had the time, we could go through this, but anybody who wants to research it can look at it. Much of the drills on 9/11 are still classified, but the CIA was specifically running a separate drill on the morning of 9/11, and the news articles, and it's in some of my films, said that it was off the previous drills that were those targets. I mean, are you saying, well, I mean, A, what are you saying? Are you saying they weren't running drills that morning?
No, not at all, Alex. And it's it was in front of USA Today that they were. Just to make clear with you, I've shown videos of yours for different classrooms.
But I'm not exaggerating.
Wait, one example. Can I get one example through?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, for example, as a joke, I called up with a Baba Booey phone call, and you are seen on YouTube claiming that the Howard Stern Show called you and that they showed off about it. That never occurred. That was me who was calling.
Okay.
You get carried away sometimes.
Put him on hold. Total and complete disinformation, pal. Total and disinformation, what you just did. Somebody called up, and it was a couple years ago, I think, and it does sound just like you from memory. My memory serves, or it was somebody with an exact same type, Brooklyn or Queens or whatever your accent is. So it sounds like you. And I did a Baba Booey, and I said, well, going from memory, I know that YouTube's out there, so you can go look it up. I'm not omnipresent, but I said, yeah, you know, that might have been Baba Booey because the Howard Stern Show, you know, doesn't like me. And that's what I said. I did not say I was sure that was you and that was happening. Now, you just integrated that in with me somehow saying that it was the Howard Stern Show. What I talked about when that happened was the fact that I was called four times by producers at the Howard Stern Show, some guy with Electric Eel, another group, saying, we'd like to have you on the Howard Stern Show. This is about 5 years ago. But the other producers and Howard are concerned that you would plug ManCow. And that you're like a minion of ManCow, and those two are rivals, you know, ManCow his junior. And I said, I do thousands of interviews. I wouldn't come on and plug ManCow. Because they said, well, ManCow tries to get people to do that. And I said, I'm not involved with that. ManCow has me on half the time and disagrees with me. We've had screaming arguments on air. And they said, okay, we'll call you back. And then they'd call back 6 months later. And it was the same thing. So that is the discussion with me saying the Howard Stern Show somehow doesn't like me. Okay, so you're integrating two separate things into a straw man there. That's what you just did. Go ahead.
I'm not trying to be that convoluted. And perhaps, like you do sometimes get carried away, you might have misspoken. But for example, even on, say, Stephen E. Jones' research, if you look at the way he procured the materials in which he tried to find there was thermite in the...
Sir, they've been peer-reviewed. They've been peer-reviewed in prestigious peer-reviewed journals. And I bet you're going to say that's a lie, too.
Socialist political economics journal has nothing to do with science.
No, some of them have been reviewed. You know what? I appreciate your call. I'm not going to spend my time on Howard Stern, buddy. I guess everything's fine.
Doctors
there's no
around the world.
Don't call my name out your window when I'm leaving.
By the way, Stephen Jones has got samples now from last time I checked, seven or eight different places, including government stores and people on record who have property right next to it. And his finding of the spheres was also found by NIST in their sulfidation reports. And we have the police and firemen saying, get back, they're going to bring the building down. And we have it blowing up and the CIA being in there. I mean, nice try, guy. You're somebody who calls shows and does pranks. And, hey, I told you the economy was going to implode years ago, told you it'd start with subprime mortgages, told you the bankers would take over and announce a world government run by the banks you'd pay carbon taxes to, told you they'd announce youth brigades. It's all happening. We don't exaggerate anything here. It's far worse than we're saying. So I don't know. I just feel sorry for you, Bubba, because a lot of you Kool-Aid drinkers are so invested in the false reality that you're going to have a lot of problems in life. David in Louisiana, you're on the air. Welcome.
Alex.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I'm looking at the February 2009 Playboy, and it has an article named Peep Culture by Hal Netzvecki, and the subcaption is 7 Things You Should Know About Our New World Order.
But it doesn't exist. You're exaggerating.
That's right. It doesn't exist.
Henry Kissinger goes on and says Obama will be able to get the world to go along with a new world order, and then he writes books calling on New World Order world government, and Walter Cronkite gets up and says we want world government, and Hillary Clinton says it, and they say a new world order is a world government, and we get the North American Union documents, and they still say it doesn't exist.
That's right. Everything is fine, you know? But basically the article gets into how our culture is changing and modifying to the internet to be more, to basically accept surveillance and how you can profit off of it and become entertained by it. So basically acclimating us to constant surveillance.
Yes, that's what's happening.
Well, Alex, hey, man, I appreciate your show, and you have a great show. You have great soundtracks on your bumper music, and Bob Chapman is the man.
All right, my friend, so are you. Good to hear from you. Let's go ahead and get in as many calls here as we can. Let's go ahead and talk to Stan in Missouri. Stan, you're on the air. Is this Farmer Stan?
What I've got to say, I don't disagree with you on anything, but you've been talking about all this compulsory service. I want to know how in the world are they going to plan to enforce this? Are they going to stick a gun to our head? Are they going to freeze our bank assets? Are they going to take our Social Security away from us? Now, how in the world do they plan to enforce all this?
Notice what they're saying. The economy's imploding. It's our fault as the American people. In his speech, we've got to serve. We've got to sacrifice. It's America. We've got to do it. And then as things get worse, the media is going to blame those of us that don't go slave for the government for free, that it's our fault. Now, the rest are going to volunteer and then get a stipend check. That's going to be in his separate from government volunteer corps. And then they'll stage some more terror attacks and things or launch some more wars and say 18 to 24. And then they're going to offer you a government check for college. And they're saying this, but you'll have to serve. And they're going to say, don't worry. You don't have to serve overseas. You're going to be part of the new domestic army. This is all proposed. And so that's how they're going to do it. I mean, how did they do the draft back in the 60s and 70s? They just say our country's under attack. We have to do this. And then they demonize cowardly draft dodgers. Well, now you'll be a service dodger. But you're going to be able to opt out, they claim, to be able to serve domestically. And, hell, these young 18, 24-year-olds, they're going to love wearing an Obama uniform, literally, and stomping around. And, you know, at first it's feeding soup kitchens, digging ditches, cleaning up parks, but then they're going to convert it over, which they say they're going to do, into spying on neighbors, running checkpoints, and things like that. So, see, first they're going to launch it. We're helping the old. We're helping everybody. We love you. We care. And then everybody gets behind it. Oh, yeah, and then... How dare you be against soup kitchens and spying on your neighbors? I mean, how are they going to get the people? Just like when you got an air conditioning guy at your house and you're a homeschooler and you're homeschooling and they say, your kid should be in school. I'm calling the cops on you. There's no law. You've got to homeschool, but the public believes it. There's no law. You've got to take vaccines, but the news lies and says it.
I understand that, my friend. But right now we're having a complete, absolute breakdown of society. I mean, to survive, people are turning to crime. Eldon, Missouri, they're just absolutely going in the store up at Eldon, and they're taking what they want, Alex. People are at a point where they just don't care. They don't care about anything anymore.
And that's how society, and that's how you'll beg for it. When they designed the breakdown of society, deindustrializing us, making us a service economy, so when they blew out the dollar and hyperinflate it and the society implodes, only place you can look is the government, and then they're going to give you a hand and pull you in the boat and slit your throat right as you get into the boat. Here, I'll give you a hand. Now, take that. Ugh, government loves you. We're the New World Order. We're hardcore radical. We're hardcore savage. That's why we're in control. We're the New World Order. And if you don't like it, you're racist. All hail Obama. We'll be right back. Good to hear from you, Stan, Patrick, Nicolette, Bob, and many others. Straight ahead, I am Alex Jones. Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv. I'm just going to have Bob Chapman for the next 25 minutes. There's going to be open phones again in the fourth hour today. I want to break down with Bob Chapman of the InternationalForecaster.com. What this nationalization really means. I'm going to give you my analysis and then see if he concurs. Okay, the international central banks deindustrialize the Western world. They get us under their control. They state that's the plan so that they can get us all in debt. They call it a service economy. Then they cut off the liquidity to Main Street, killing it so they can buy it up with the tens of trillions of dollars of bailout money that they've sucked into their coffers in the last 3.5 months. $8.5 trillion on record. That's 6 weeks ago. It was $1.3 trillion a week, so it's well over $10 trillion now. And then they say to the public, they've already got dictatorial power under the bill they passed that stated no one can review them, no court, no government, not Congress, not the president. It gives this totally illegal, fraudulent, omnipotent, imperial power to the private Federal Reserve governors. And separate Fed governors and former governors are saying, we've been told war powers have been enacted. We're not even involved. That's been in Bloomberg and AP. So they've already got the dictatorial power. They have to sell now what they're going to do in that power by acting like they don't have it and say, we have to nationalize the banks, but they won't tell you where it's going, what the money is, into this new Bank of the U.S. That's been in the Wall Street Journal and a bunch of other publications. And it will issue bonds. But really, that's the Federal Reserve that's already quietly started issuing some type of secretive bonds to institutions and governments that they claim are as good as U.S. Treasury notes. So they're blowing the U.S. out, blowing its credit out. The people have got to pay all that back in taxes and interest. And then now creating this new instrument that is the new Bank of the USA, which is USA in name only. It's also private like the Federal Reserve. It's the same group. You have the private shareholders of the small group of banks that are also the Federal Reserve, which will also be this new bank. And then it cedes its power to Bretton Woods II to internationally devalue the currencies together, which as they've said they're going to do. And Newsweek has called it World Bank, World Government, offering that as the solution. So when they call it nationalization, it isn't really that. It's the last vestiges of Treasury control over financial systems being transferred to the Federal Reserve and then openly transferred publicly into an international body, which again is owned by the private shareholders of the Federal Reserve, the Bank of England, the Bundesbank, a handful of families. And so that's what's happening with all of this. So if nationalization was bad enough, the only sense it's nationalized is they're saying unlimited secret funds will be transferred further, not just the $8.5 trillion, and they're looting all the other countries too, that's just here, into this group, into this body, which will then set currency rates, that will then set interest rates worldwide, that will then set tax policy worldwide, and they're calling it the New World Order. So that's basically what they're doing, and the public will think they're paying taxes into the new Bank of the USA to freeze up these bad derivatives, these bad instruments, when in reality the establishment's just writing those off to their investors and hoarding all the capital and cash to themselves. As the world goes into depression, they continue the process of buying everything up and then telling governments through their IMF World Bank shock therapy system that in Argentina, Russia, now in Iceland, you have to hand over roads, infrastructure to all these private interests, which are also owned by the very same central banks themselves that are setting the policies for the government to have the right to pay all of the people's money into the private central banks that are doing it themselves. Now, that sounds crazy. It is. We're paying them to pay taxes and then to pay interest on that. Bob Chapman, does that succinctly describe it, or can you boil it down better, or do you agree with that analysis?
One of the downsides of being on with you is thinking about things that you miss, which in this case, you haven't missed anything at all. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. Of course, there's all kinds of nuances along the way, but you got it nailed. Absolutely. Now, we're going to be in the middle of a depression. I think the depression's begun, at least in the United States.
But hold on, Bob. Put it in your own words. I mean, I did that whole long extrapolated thing. I mean, with all of your decades of research in finance and being spot on predicting what's going to happen, how would you sum up what they're doing right now and then go into the depression?
Well, the summation is what you've said is true, and I think that they are going to have trouble getting across what they're getting trying to get across, and that is that they're going to find resistance about the way that they're rolling this thing into this new USA bank. We're still going to get lots of questions, admittedly, from Wall Street, people who are not involved in this. What are you people doing? This is like Alexander Hamilton and his U.S. bank all over again. And, of course, that was defeated by Congress. But they are going to have trouble implementing this. It's not going to be easy, especially not in the middle of a depression. But, you know, they think that they're masters of the universe and they can get anything done that they want.
Well, yeah, that's the issue, is that it's totally unpopular, 98-99% against it in the polls, 1,000-to-1 phone calls against it in Congress, and that's with the public not even having one inkling how bad it really is. And then this is only the beginning, and they're just giving us no quarter.
You're right, and we discussed this yesterday, and it's our job to inform the public that this is going down, how it's going down, why it's going down, and what we got to do about it. And that is ring the phone off your congressman's wall and tell other people, demonstrate. Right now, all over Europe, demonstrations are going berserk, and a lot of them are becoming violent. The Iceland government is stepping down. You'll probably have government changes in Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, Bulgaria, Romania.
But the banker scam when they do implode an economy and do this, as they're doing here, is to just put puppet after puppet until it wears the people out. But they're giving the people no quarter, so that's not going to work.
No, it's not going to work. And so it could turn into revolution in a number of countries.
But they don't care because they want it all. They want it now.
That's right. And they've opened the window and they can't close it. They can't go back. They're beyond the halfway point to where they're going. And they have been since 2002, 2003. And, you know, the game is on. And we have to use the opportunities that we got to tell other people, this is what's happening to you. And I see on CNBC and in reading in the business publications that the professionals in Wall Street are pulling the money out of banks. I mean, I never saw anything like that before in the last almost 50 years I've been involved in it.
Now I said 6-8 months ago that I believe it would happen in the next year, the total implosion. I mean, I'm saying that's what the evidence looked like. You and many others, Dr. Roberts and others, are saying 2 to 3 years. But I had Roberts on a few weeks ago, and he said it may happen quicker now. Are you still saying 2 to 3 years until we actually enter hell itself?
Well, I've said in the International Forecaster, it now may happen quicker. Just exactly what Mr. Roberts said. So we don't know the timing on that. All you know is it's bad and it's going to happen. And if you look at what they're doing, I don't know what stage is behind the scenes that their planning is at. I mean, they might come out next week and say the big surprise that others have talked about that we have for you with the new administration is that we are going to work toward world financial regulatory control and eventually have a new financial order, a new currency for the entire world, because we don't want this terrible devaluations to happen again.
And then advertise it that the only solution to get America going in the world is this.
Exactly, and then they'll pull up somebody like Goebbels, and he'll be on television every day and telling the people, oh, this is what we got to do.
It is reckless, and you're right. They've done it by design, but clearly the execution has gotten out of control for them. But it's like opening a screen door on a submarine. There's no putting the door back in place. They've committed. I mean, they've jumped out of the airplane, parachute or not.
And we have our weapons at our disposal as well. And that is getting out to the public as best we can And when the public's disgruntled, you tell them what the problem is and get them mobilized. I mean, if you're out of work and you can't get a job and you're on some kind of welfare, you have plenty of time on your hands. So you start putting people together.
Well, what the public's got to know is that the establishment's going ahead with this, and nothing they promise you is there to help you. It's to secure their global empire. If they could care less about starving and dying and murdered Iraqis or Africans, they don't care about you. And it still is reckless, though. I mean, if I was the power elite, I would want soft power. And but I guess I'm not the power elite, and I'm not a psychopath.
As Mr. Roberts spent 10 minutes one day on this program saying, these people are insane. And
yeah,
he's absolutely right, and he knows them better than we do because he worked in Washington, and he knows that mindset.
Well, I mean, it is insane. Did you see the LA Times where they admit, they say hundreds, really thousands of people for raising their voices on airplanes are arguing, are now being charged as terrorists, and then are having their rights in trial stripped. And they always promised the Patriot Act was only for Al-Qaeda, but now they're using it against marijuana. They're using it on the street. I mean, that is classical tyranny right there.
You're absolutely right. And the gentleman was on before saying that people have thrown their hands in the air and they're going into stores and just taking what they want. And that's going to get worse. And there's millions of stores shutting down, whether they're in clothing or food and all kinds of things. The economy's coming down.
And you're now saying you think it's happening faster than you previously had thought, you know, degrading slowly for 2 or 3 years. I know people can read the nuances of that in the International Forecaster, but for those that are listening right now, if you're revising your forecast, project that for us.
Well, 2 weeks ago in the Forecaster, at the beginning of the Forecaster, where I always put something where I want to catch people's attention, I said, this is it. You go all in on gold and silver because they're going to take off. Now, they're going to take off because the news is going to get so bad and the ability to control those two markets is going to wane for the insiders who have been doing it. And I think things are about ready to bust out and fly. And I've been dead right here over the next couple of weeks. We had two breakouts technically in gold and silver today. And the sky's the limit now. I suppose along the way we'll have burps, so to speak. But we're going to test $20 on silver. And, you know, silver, because of the suppression by two banks, you know, it could go up $3 or $4 in a day. There's no limits on silver, and which there was at one time a long time ago. It could be wild. And gold's going to go up and test 1033, and it is going to break it. And the market is going to go lower. Starting an hour and a half ago, you could see the government come into the stock market trying to hold it up. They got the S&P and the NASDAQ up, but they couldn't get the Dow up. Their power is waning, and the market's going to go down.
And I'm sorry, a bunch of deceived, pathetic Obama zombies prattling around cheerleading the government isn't going to change the fundamentals of what's happening.
No, and the fundamentals have been, again, deliberately put in place. And all of the things that you see just aren't happening. They've been planned that way. And we're just going to have to disrupt what they're doing.
Gold's been shooting up so fast today, I don't even know what it's at right now. What's it at, Bob?
Well, we know it's up over $37. And that's in the February contract. It's been up all day long.
Well, Ted Anderson. Go ahead, sorry.
Yes, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
And they tried to knock it down at $14. They couldn't do it.
All I know is, like we said yesterday, with UBS grabbing 19,000-plus Swiss bank accounts of mid-level nouveau riche, and they're doing this all over the place, that the only way to protect assets for, that you've earned, even paid taxes on to the damn bankers, excuse me, folks, that slipped out, I apologize. Even with those people, I mean, all you can do is get gold and silver. And I want to bring Ted Anderson in briefly here because Ted is still offering gold at the offer he did yesterday that was last week's prices that was, what, 30-something bucks under what he was able to buy it for. And then today it's up 30-something more. And so those were great deals yesterday. These deals are insane. Ted offering yesterday's deal today, is that a good deal, Bob Chapman?
Doesn't get any better.
Ted Anderson, tell folks about today's gold and silver offer.
Well, you asked the question. Gold has gone over 903 today, so we're up over $900 an ounce on the closing contract.
Then it's up 50 bucks.
Yeah, you right now, I repriced it. Franks right now are at 225. If I want to sell Franks today at today's price, they're 225. My yesterday's price was 202. That means that the gold price, and this is, I priced it at about 890. So, I mean, that gives, or I'm 980, I'm sorry, 989 right around there. So it's up higher than that right now. Gives you an idea. These are up over 10% from the time that I bought these things to where they're at now. Franks are at 225 currently. I'm selling them at 202. The British sovereigns right now are at 275. I'm selling those at 250. I also have the gold buffalo. I didn't have time to reprice those again, but they're going to be going up the same 10%. Everything that I have is going up. The silver coins right now that the Walking Liberty halves that we've been talking about at 840, I have to reprice those. I will hold this special through the weekend, but I'm telling you, the market holds into this $900 range. There's going to be a whole new set of prices, and everything's going to be up 10 to 15 more.
Let's explain. You have limited supplies of silver and gold. At the price when the market was at what, 830?
Yeah, that's when I picked it up, Alex. It was when gold was sitting there down. It was trying to test $700 an ounce, and then I'm buying like a madman trying to get as much supply as I can. Now the market, without a question, has just gone up about $100.
Okay, specifically, this gold you bought, on average, those different buys in there, how much the gold you're selling now is priced at where in the market?
Right now, if you took that same coin, it'd be 225, and I'm selling that coin right now at 202. That's one of the examples. I've got several different examples just like that. I can't buy from one place. I have to make a lot of buys. It's hard to get this stuff now.
800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. Stay with us.
This is the end. Beautiful friend,
this is the end, my only friend, the end
of our elaborate plans, the end of everything that stands, the end.
No safety
or surprise. The end.
I'll never
look into your eyes
again. Can you picture what will be?
Can you picture what will be?
So limitless
and free. Desperately in need of some
stranger's hand.
And that hand is the hand of Barack Obama. That is going to betray you even greater. That's what they do. They build the crises off of the solution, and it always gets worse. Bob Chapman, the internationalforecaster.com, will give you a toll-free number to call and get a free trial subscription, a sample of it. It's excellent. Ted Anderson, you're saying you've got enough gold and silver there to hold this special throughout the weekend with gold cresting up to $900 an ounce, silver going up. Tell us about the silver offer.
Yeah, the silver currently right now, the Walking Liberty halves, but in, like I said, Alex, in very limited supply. I mean, we will take orders through this weekend. I was just warned by my trader that she cannot get them past that. We will have to raise our prices. We will have to reflect what silver's doing.
Let's be clear. During the break, your traders are running in saying, watch it, Ted, watch it.
Yeah, they're calling all their sources right now to try to gear up for this particular special, because everybody knows the phones are going to blow off the hook, and if you're not calling to buy gold and silver while you're watching what's going on in the market right now, and you've got money sitting in the bank, I think you're nuts. The market
800-686-2237, 800-686-2237. This is what I believe in. That number on your screen, 800-686-2237, Midas Resources. Bob Chapman, I mean, we were telling people on the show when it was $286 an ounce 6 years ago to buy gold, because we knew they were going to devalue the currency. It's gone up to 1,000, it's gone back down, it's going racing right back up. They're not being able to suppress it. Should people get into gold and silver now, especially because they're getting last week's prices today during a gold bull market?
Well, it certainly doesn't get any better than that price-wise. And as you know, I said all in. I mean, this is it. And I'm telling people to pull their money out of banks, except what they need for operating expenses, and taking a hard look at their insurance policies, because insurance companies are asking regulators to lower the bar for them, just in case the stock market drops from 8,000 to
4,000. I was about to say, every time Ted says your annuities aren't insured, we get hate mail. Then they call back apologizing, saying, okay, I found out it's true, I'm not insured. Annuities are not insured FDIC, are they?
No. And not only that, you know, they're in the market. And market goes down, they're going to go down. There will be insurance companies that will be in trouble. Whether the government will bail them out or not, I don't know. Why take the chance when you get something that's going up?
There is one thing that they can't get their greedy hands on, and that's gold and silver and precious metals. They can put property taxes on your land and take it. They can do anything. They can't get your gold and silver unless they physically stick you up for it. So 800-686-2237. Ted, you're holding this deal until what, Sunday evening?
Sunday evening. You'll place your orders by Sunday evening or you'll pay more. There's no question about it.
800-686-2237. Bob, can you stay just one more five-minute segment? I've got a few other financial questions for you.
Sure.
Okay. Oh, and in the 10 seconds we've got left, well, we'll just come back and also give out the number for folks to get a free copy of your newsletter. Stay with us, 800-686-2237. Already into the fourth hour, your phone calls, including a few that disagree from Brazil and Florida and places like that. Coming up in the next segment, I will go over some more of the news. Like YouTube is systematically pulling scores of the Building 7 being blown up videos and footage of BBC announcing it fell before it did. So massive censorship that they announced they would do now taking place. The Defense Department and Obama are announcing they may not do a 16-month Iraq troop pullout timetable now, or they may wait a year and then do a timetable. Bush has been doing that for 5.5 years. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss. Oh, we'll shut Guantanamo maybe in the next year, but we're building some new camps. They said a year ago, follow the Army manual, same news. Bob Chapman, in closing, I want folks to get their pens and paper ready so they can call and get a free, your latest newsletter, the hard copy, the big thick one. But before we do that, they're talking about bank holidays. It's in the news that the money, people are getting their money out of the banks. They're talking about a bank holiday, a devaluation. We've seen Gerald Celente and all these really accurate trends forecasters, the best in the world, saying they believe bank runs in or bank holidays to stop them in mid-February. That's only a few weeks away. I hope he's wrong. What do you see, Bob?
I see it happening, but I just don't know what the timing on it is. I think the next 2 weeks are going to be crucial because we may get an idea of the timetable that the Illuminists are going to use to regulate the world financial system. And I think that's going to be very important, and hopefully they will let us know what they're going to do. And then we can work against that program. As far as the bank holiday is concerned, I just can't say. It's going to happen. Yeah. I just don't know when.
Well, Gessner, who doesn't pay his taxes to the private IRS, the private Federal Reserve, he went before Congress, as you know, 2 days ago. And he said, we're not going to tell you what we're planning, but it's international in scope, and it's not going to be popular. What is, I mean...
That's what we just said. And that's what you said yesterday. And you were right, I'm right, and that's what they're going to do. And, you know, down the line this year, with the hearings that they've had regarding retirement plans, what are they going to do with that? I mean, are they going to try to roll the retirement plans into Social Security and make it retroactive? In other words, from January the 1st, 2009, and they pass legislation in August, and they say, whoops, all you people who have taken your money out, you got to give it back to us.
Well, they're
openly
saying,
I mean, these people in Washington, they're real beauties.
That's actually in the Wall Street Journal. They're saying what bank nationalization means for you. And it says the government's going to take over your funds and your 401ks for your own safety. And congressional testimony a month ago, they said they're going to start taxing and stealing part of it. So not only will it be devalued, they'll protect it by stealing large portions.
You're right.
And
that's what they intend to do. But the timing, again, I don't know. I don't know for sure they're going to make it retroactive in regard to retirement. But knowing them, they probably will. I mean, just like the 1986 Tax Reform Act, every accountant in the nation thought that the people who had abided by the law would be grandfathered in. They didn't grandfather anyone in.
Hey.
8 million millionaires went bankrupt.
Well, it was worse than that. My dad was no millionaire then, but he was a successful dentist owning a dental office. And I remember they took basically everything we had, and they said to my dad in the office, in the IRS, they said, Mr. Jones, we know you did everything by the book. We're white-collar criminals, and we're going to take everything you've got. And it was retroactive. They changed the tax law, claim you owed all this money with interest.
I was there. I know. I was entrapped in it. And I beat them.
Because you were a patriot, knew all about the New World Order.
That's right. I knew exactly what to expect from them.
Give us the number to get a complimentary copy of the International Forecaster.
And that number is 877. You always catch me here. 877-479-8178. Again, 877-479-8178. Toll free.
Thank you, Bob.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
I'm chugging hot coffee. I'm back to 18-hour days working on this Obama film. It is powerful. I'm chugging the coffee here. I'm really like a raccoon when this film's done with black circles under my eyes. Those are my running lights when I've been getting the work done. You can tell when Alex Jones has been busting butt. I look even more toad-like than normal. Nothing like delicious boiling hot coffee. Oh, man. People sometimes, like my wife, pick up my coffee and she'll say, how do you drink it that hot? It's the only way. Delish. I'm going to go to your phone calls, including some that disagree in a moment. But before I do that, I want to tell you about a really exciting new sponsor we have. Now, they ship all over the country, but they're based right here in Austin, Texas. They got these huge rainwater collectors, and then they purify it after that. And these are Patriot, anti-New World Order folks. And they sent us some of this stuff like a month ago, and I was drinking it around the office. I'm like, this is really good bottled water. Well, it is. This is bottled water you can trust. Pure Rain is the website, purerainusa.com. Purerainusa.com. They have another TexasPureRain.com, and it's free delivery anywhere in Austin and in a few surrounding areas, so give them a call to find out more at 512-514-1076. Another thing in this economy falling apart by design, Patriots got to stick together, and that means supporting the sponsors of this show or AM and FM affiliates. It means all of us supporting each other, and this is just a great deal, very inexpensive. Check them out, 512-514-1076 or TexasPureRain.com. Go to their website and find out more at purerainusa.com as well. And one other sponsor, Solutions from Science, advertises like five different things with us. And the reason I like Solutions from Science, been around a long time, they only get the best units out there, the best seeds, heirloom, the best, you know, their whole product lines are awesome things. We only take sponsors we believe in. And Solutions from Science found the best solar kit for the price. You can get a couple of these and run your whole house. There's four or five of them, or just get one and run certain things. A lot of things can cut off your electrical power, hurricanes, snow, ice, storms. Listeners should move towards getting off the grid, and here's a good way to do just that. The solar power generator is now available from our longtime sponsor, Solutions from Science. It's designed to provide 1,800 watts of power on demand in the event of any disaster or outage, or just use it every day. You get an emergency power backup kit, which consists of the Power Source 1800 power plant and a high-efficiency solar panel designed to provide endless electricity. That's right, it generates free electricity, folks. MySolarBackup.com, one word, MySolarBackup.com, or give them a call at 877-327-0365, 877-327-0365. And again, the sponsors make this show possible. People disagree. They get to go to the head of the line. But I got to be quick with you because I want to get to everybody else. Bob in Florida, who disagrees, you're on the air. Hello, Bob.
Good afternoon. Yeah, I got a question about, it seems like you always criticize people who see things differently than you. Like, for instance, that guy who made Zeitgeist Addendum, Peter Joseph. I don't understand why you have to criticize his movie. Anybody who exposes the Federal Reserve or 9/11 should be encouraging them or supporting them. He has obviously different views on the solution, but one of the main views is to end the Federal Reserve. So instead of criticizing him, like you say we shouldn't do, you should encourage other people. So,
well, you know, let me just say this. I could have probably done that better, but so could he. I was saying that most of our programming is innate. He said, no, that's not true. Everything is learned. And I just said, but we have all these studies. And he just said, no, I'm an intellectual, you're not. And it made me angry. I agree with a lot of what the film has to say, and I said that to him. And he used a lot of my footage in the first Zeitgeist. The point is that I disagree with the central planning. And he did say on the show that I would have to be re-educated under this system, that I would have to do what they said, and that I would be re-educated. Now, did you hear him say I would have to go to a re-education center?
No, I didn't hear that at all.
Well, you better go listen to the hour and a half interview near the end. I've seen what they're putting out before. This utopia, what the globalists push. And so, am I perfect? Absolutely not.
But even utopia is in the Bible. I mean, it's okay to want utopia. That's not a bad, reality. You know, it's
a centralized directorate. And he says run by a computer. Who's going to program that computer? I appreciate your call, man. Okay, fine. Believe it. It's good. It's wonderful. I'm bad. The big thing is I don't talk like this and do intellectual stuff and go, You know, I got a redneck voice, so Alex Jones is an idiot. No, Alex Jones is pretty darn smart. And all he does is interview the people that have been right over and over again. We know what we're talking about. We're on the cutting edge. We predict the future. We know what's happening. Okay? I know what that is. You know, even though it attacked anybody who's religious or anybody who has faith in the first one, I didn't really attack it for that. I stayed out of it. Even though they used my footage without me even knowing. And my problem with that is that I then got blamed for that because I was in the movie. I was nice after the thing was already out of the barn door, and I said, whatever, just use it. And they contacted me about it. And what do I get for that? I'm bad, I'm evil, because I don't want to go to a re-education center. Okay, fine. Let's go ahead and talk to Don in Brazil, who also disagrees. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, hey, Alex. I just want to tell you I'm a long-time listener and a recent member of Prison Planet, and I really like it. I'm a big supporter. I do have to agree with that guy that says if you sometimes exaggerate things or mislead a little.
I don't.
Okay, well, let me ask you about this. How about Title 50, Chapter 32, U.S. Code?
Yes.
Section, Paragraph B?
I think you've said it. Go ahead.
Yeah, you said that gives the government the right to do biological or chemical testing on Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Well, doesn't Paragraph C say that you need informed consent?
Unless it's being done for research purposes. Read below it.
Oh, well, there's Paragraph D that says you got to have
Your iPhone or your IP phone's cutting out. Say it again.
Paragraph D C is informed consent of every human subject that's involved in the testing, and paragraph D is you got to give prior notice to Congress.
Mm-hmm. I don't have that up in front of me, but, oh, man, I wish somebody would IM that to me right now so I could just read it. That has been, I have covered that 50 times on air years ago with it in my hand, and I know what it says. Now, there's been amendments to it. It's been changed, so there's several versions as well. But if you look at U.S. Code, Title 50, Chapter 32, Subsection 1520A, Paragraph B, is that what you have in front of you?
Got it. I got the updated version of it. I'm looking at it right now.
No, I asked you. I'm making sure from memory I've got it right. I'll have to type it in right now on air. I'll have to pull it up right now. Hold on. It's hard to do this while I'm talking on air. Just keep going. If you read that in the legalese, and then in the cases it's been used, let me ask you this. Are you aware that they've done, without consent on troops and everybody else and on U.S. cities, thousands of chemical, biological, and radiological tests? Are you denying that without conformed consent, say 5 years ago they sprayed almost all of Oklahoma with Subtilis globigi bacteria out of aircraft?
No, Alex, no, I'm not. And
okay, well, let me stop you. Did they get conformed consent there?
No, they probably didn't.
Now, let me stop you again. All I know is that when I've read U.S. Code, Title 50, Chapter 32, Subsection 1520A, Paragraph B, and I can play you a newscast right now where they say in the newscast that they didn't tell people, it says in there you've got to get conformed consent. But if you read the legalese in it, sir, it then says unless it's for research purposes, and then they don't, you have to go look at the U.S. code finding list that they have there to see what that means. Just like when I said the Patriot Act would be used in non-terror-related cases because of Section 802 saying any action that endangers a human life that's a violation of any federal or state law, then you've got to go look at the coding on that. And then now the proof's in the pudding that my interpretation of that is right because tens of thousands of people in non-terror-related cases are being charged under the Patriot Act.
Okay, well, yeah.
You're wrong. Look, I don't even have it in front of me, and I know.
I do. I have it in front of me.
Okay, well, this is what I want you to do. Read the subsection. Okay? Read above it. Go ahead and read it right now.
Subsection what? C, paragraph C or
I don't
D
I don't have it in
E
front
or...
of me. I just know in there, in several of the versions, there's one where they took it out and they brought it back. It says unless it's for research purposes. You're saying it doesn't say that in there?
No, sir. I don't see for not research purposes. But let me just say one thing. We're getting a little bit too much on detail. I'm not really want to get on you about that much. I just want to say.
Hey! Stop! It's not exaggeration. What I say is in the Patriot Act is there. Now, if they've amended the U.S. Code and changed it, good. I know it became a big news. It was on national news years ago, sir. This has been a major issue. I don't keep track of the entire federal registry. But I'm telling you, you can find copies of it on government websites with the version that says unless it's research purposes, then they don't need informed consent.
Okay, so maybe that was a past thing, yeah, but then...
I don't know.
That was current,
I'm saying I don't get up here on air and lie. Okay, if I get right, up here and say... If I get up... Why the hell would I sit here... Excuse me. Why would I get up here and say, go look this up, and then it's not there? Why on earth would I do that? Okay? Laws change all the time. I don't exaggerate, sir. I don't exaggerate.
Let me ask you about one other thing. Let me ask you one other
thing.
Go
ahead.
You said that David Rockefeller went into the board meetings of all the large American oil companies other than ExxonMobil and told them they were all fired.
Yes, he went into a bunch of the. Yes, he went into a bunch of them.
Well, you mean ConocoPhillips and
Go
Chevron.
Pull the news articles up. He went around to the oil companies they have big family holdings in. What the hell are you talking? I mean, are you saying that isn't true?
Are you fed up with all the side effects?
I'm out of time here, and we'll do this just on the internet only on PrisonPlanet.tv. Are you there, sir? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What are you doing down in Brazil?
I'm here.
What are you doing down in Brazil?
I'm just traveling through right now. I'm in Rio.
Okay, but, let me just stop you. When I get up on air 6 months ago and I say, David Rockefeller's gone to the ExxonMobil board. He's threatening Rex Tillerson and saying they have to get on board and say carbon dioxide's a toxic waste. They have to get behind a global tax. And people call me and say, you're a liar. There's no plan for a global tax. And now they're announcing it. That was exaggeration. It's public. And then I remember reading he went to a bunch of the other oil companies, not all the oil companies, as you know, there's thousands, but the big ones that they have holdings in, and that they went and put pressure on them with the Rockefeller holdings and the rest of his family. So, of course, I boil it down and say he went around to a bunch of the oil companies with pressure on them. That's admitted. It's in the news. They've now buckled and done it. Now, I mean, is there a global tax? Are they pushing it? Did the Rockefellers go put pressure? Are you saying that isn't true?
No, I'm not saying that's not true. All I'm saying is this. And would you say that you had ever exaggerated anything maybe once or something? I'm just saying that.
No, what I've done is I've been incorrect. I get bill numbers wrong sometimes. I get dates wrong. I give phone numbers for sponsors out wrong. I called Chris One, KRS-One. I reversed the numbers.
He called it KSR. That was funny.
Yeah. But that wasn't an exaggeration. That was me running a TV show, people talking to me through the window, stuff on the screen, things going on.
Let me ask you about this.
I mean, here's another example. No. Let me ask you something. I saw a comment on Infowars.com in a story last night saying, look at Alex. I heard him today say thousands of people have been charged under the Patriot Act in non-terror-related cases. And they put a link up and they said, but look at the LA Times. It says more than 200. That was more than 200 on airplanes. I'm talking about all the articles I've seen where South Carolina, thousands, you know, and so, of course, I'm integrating that into a simple statement, and then people play wordsmith semantical games with it and imply that thousands haven't been charged in non-terror-related cases under the Patriot Act and had their due process violated. I mean, what? That's not exaggeration.
No, I love you, man. You do a hell of a job, and man, I support you 100%. I'm just saying that if somebody looks up something that you had said and then found out it was, you know, kind of a stretch or not exactly true, they might be discount everything you're going to say.
Let me ask you a question. Do you believe there's a version of the U.S. Code which changes every year that says what I said it said?
I sure do.
Okay, because I'm not lying to you. I'd be an idiot even if I was a bad person. Okay, but more than that, are they not announcing a world government run by the bankers? I mean, everything with the major issues we talk about, did it not come true like we said?
You're right. You know, but do you want to? Is it like maybe you want to say, well, you know, it's helpful exaggerating a little bit to make people, you know, wake up and see it and everything is okay or something.
No, I'm not exaggerating.
Let me ask you about this. Okay, like yesterday with the when you were talking to Joe Rogan and the woman on the plane with the two kids and the getting charged with terror and stuff, you know that one?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you would say she got a long prison sentence, you know?
Yeah, we called him. Now that
she's out on probation, it even says it in the article.
No, that is correct. I was thinking of another case, and I was screaming and yelling and arguing on air. And I thought about that last night when I heard the rebroadcast. Now you just legitimately found, but they're trying to put her in jail for 10 years. That is something real because I'm yelling and screaming, arguing with Joe. You're right. So there you go. Hey, I got to go back live to the full audience. Here we go. Thank you. Okay, the point here is, for those that weren't watching PrisonPlanet.tv with that caller, he listed a bunch of things where I didn't exaggerate, and then he listed something where I was wrong, and that's what I just said. I get things wrong. There's all these cases. I'm not omnipotent. I don't have all the answers. The issue is, are they charging people under terrorism and then restricting their rights and their due process in court when they swore they wouldn't use the Patriot Act except against Al-Qaeda? And the answer is they are. And so we can play games with all of this stuff all day. Alex, everybody acts like it's up to Alex Jones what happens in the future. I'm here doing the best job I can, putting my best foot forward, attempting to be as accurate as I can. And I'd say we're 95% accurate. Whereas the mainstream media generally has an agenda or is trying to spin. Look, what you take away from here is what you want to take away from it. What you go do about this is your issue. I know stuff's scary, and a lot of people subconsciously don't want this to be real or this to be happening. Believe me, all the time I lay in bed thinking, this can't be this bad. This can't be real. This, you know, this can't be going on. But it is. Let's go back to the calls here. Let's go ahead and talk to Patrick in Canada. Patrick, you're on the air. Welcome.
How you doing, Alex?
Good, sir.
Good. First of all, I'd like to address one thing that I don't really hear addressed too often on your shows, that I really appreciate your sarcasm and your wit. Fits in perfectly with the subject matter of the show. Definitely lightens things up at all the right times. But I'm calling to discuss something of a little more serious nature. In Toronto, Canada, we have a radio personality who you're familiar with, Richard Serrett.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been on his show numerous times over the past few years.
Probably
he was
about
actually.
15.
Yeah, he was actually fired on Tuesday afternoon by Astral Media, who's a giant media conglomerate-controlled media up here in Canada. There's been no mention as to why he was fired. They try to use the excuse of a softening economy, yet in the last fiscal year, they've been making record profits, and the show has been under continual growth and expansion since he's come on board. And basically, I just wanted to let the Canadian listeners, because I know you've got tons, that I'm going to be, we're going to be rallying outside the CFRB radio station this coming Monday between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. to protest the firing of Richard Serrett. And this is a lot more than just one individual losing a paycheck. This is about preserving our access.
Yeah, that's in Toronto, and he was on, what, five nights a week?
It started out as four nights with 2 hours, went to five nights, 3 hours, and then they did a best of on Sundays for an hour. So, you know, it's not due to a lack of listenership, and this is about preserving our access to truthfulness and openness on the airwaves here in Canada.
Well, let's call Richard Serrett up and maybe get him on next week. This is the first I've heard of this. I've got to confirm it, but I mean, I believe you, but CFRB, that's the oldest radio station in Canada, isn't it?
I believe so, and we actually have done the Canadian theatrical premieres of Endgame and Truth Rising here in Toronto. Both received fantastic reception. So this is something serious. I mean, you guys in America can look up here to Canada and see what's going on with media censorship and take note, because there's much more consolidation up here than there is in the United States. And with all that's anticipated to come down the route in 2009, the best way to have people swallow it with a teaspoon of sugar is to remove anybody that's objecting it. And Richard was pretty much the only source that we had for this type of information.
Absolutely. I appreciate your call. You know, the guys just pulled up U.S. Code Title 30. But that's his Title 45 Code on Federal. The informed consent requirements in this policy are not intended for the purpose of research and development. So I've got to click on this and go find it. But, I mean, I just can't keep track of it all anymore. You know, like I've got, like when I say he's on 5 days a week, and he goes, well, he's on 4 days and then on the weekend. And so I'll say, oh, that's not five, that's four. You know, you're exaggerating. I don't know. I've been on weekdays on the guy's show. Weeknights is all I know. I mean, the thing is, I can't keep track of all the info anymore. But I'm trying to find U.S. code. See, it will take me 10 minutes to do that, and I just can't do it while I'm on air. But I want to go pull that up and do that. Maybe the guys in the PrisonPlanet.com forum can find that and post all that. I mean, this is unbelievable stuff. It's like that Oregon bill they had where it said life in prison or if you consent 25 years in a forest labor camp. I mean, you know, who comes up with this stuff? I mean, that's in the bill. Or I guess everything's fine. They're in the police state. Everything's going wonderful. The NSA isn't spying on us. And everything's good. I remember always being told, you're exaggerating. The NSA isn't spying on everybody. Now they admit they are. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back.
Day after day, alone on a hill, the man with the foolish grin is keeping perfectly still. But nobody wants to know him, they can see that he's just a fool. And he never gives an answer, But the fool on the hill sees the sun going down.
Okay, I found U.S. Code Title 50, Chapter 32, Subsection 1520A during the break. But I found it during the break. Now I'm trying to read it and just scanning over it in the last 10 seconds. I believe it says right here, exceptions to when they can do this testing on you. Yeah, keep zooming in on this because, I mean, we're just people. We're here. I know there's been a version of this because it's been on national news. In fact, John, there's a clip of it you grabbed off the news in that Walter Cronkite clip you play where they go, you know, they didn't tell the public they were experimenting on them. There, we put it on screen for people. Then we're going to go to our next mini guest. U.S. Code Title 50, Chapter 32, Subsection 1520A. Let me look, find B. That's where it's at. Of this subsection, only of informed consent the testing was obtained from each human subject in advance of the testing on that subject. Okay. A peaceful purpose that is related to the medical, therapeutic, pharmacological, agriculture, industrial research activity. Any purpose that is directly related to the production against toxic chemicals. Any law enforcement purposes, including any purposes related to riot control. And it's saying that exceptions subject to subsection CBE of the section, the prohibition and subsection of the section does not apply to the test or experiment carried out for any of the following purposes. Well, hey, there it is. I mean, I've had top constitutional lawyers on a decade ago about this. I mean, I've made major hay of this. And I'm just now looking at it again after years. And it's saying that there's exemptions. They don't have to give conform consent. Guys, you're in there reading it. Does it not say that? I mean, how? Now, maybe he's on another area of the U.S. Code and it's changed or something, but U.S. Code, Title 50, Chapter 32, Subsection 1520A. Secretary of Defense may not conduct directly or by contract any test experiment involving the use of chemical agent or biological agent on a civilian population or any of the testing of chemical agent, biological agent on human subjects. B, exceptions. The subject to subsection C, D, E of this section, the prohibition and subsection of this section, does not apply to a test experiment carried out for any of the following purposes. So it's saying, exception of subjects, C, D, E to this section, the prohibition in subsection of the subsection does not apply to a test experiment carried out for any of the following purposes. And the way the law scholars read that is that it's saying that then for these exceptions, you can do it. Any peaceful purpose that is related to medical, therapeutic, pharmacological, agriculture, industrial, research activity. Any purpose that is directly related to production against toxic chemicals or biological weapons and agents. Any law enforcement purposes, including any related to riot control. And then they add informed consent required in a subsection over C. But I don't know what that means. The Secretary of Defense may conduct a test experiment described in subsection of this section only of informed consent. But that's saying of this section. But then they give the sections above it. So that's a lawyer trick there. And then they do it without informed consent every day. So what are you talking? I mean, there it is. Of this section, only informed consent to be testing was obtained from each human subject in the advance of the testing on them. So there it is. We're just reading that differently, sir. I'll just have a constitutional law scholar on back about it. I mean, they do all this uninformed testing. I mean, they do it all the time. It comes out. I mean, it's there. So I don't know what the debate is. Let's go to Steve Shank. I hadn't had him on in a few weeks. And to give us a report on what's going on worldwide. You know, my biggest reason, Steve, all along has not been food shortages or things like that caused by drought or any problems. My problem, and the reason I told folks to get storable foods, is the depression situation, to buy bulk food before they inflate the currency or the depression sets in. And I've really been excited to hear these ads you're running on the network for the, what is it, the three-day responder. Because for $21, a multi-day, well, I mean, give us the specifics. I've only heard the ad twice. What exactly is this new offer?
Well, what it is it's a 3-day pack. It comes in a little box. It's 4 inches by 8 inches by 11 inches, so it's just a nice little package. It's got 4 meals a day for 3 days in that rascal, and they're all add water, heat, and go for it. It's intended to be something that people can throw in the back of a car, and they got 3 days worth of food. All they do is add water and heat it. It's intended right now, you know, Alex, that I've said before that close to 40% of our population now, when they go to the grocery store, is very simply having to make the decision between buying food and paying their other bills or
not.
Well,
that's now in the news. I mean, that's been happening for months, but it's getting worse.
I know. It's getting worse. And some information that we just got from a big article, a lot of the biggest farms in the country are pulling back on planting because the banks are requiring them now, before they'll give them loans, to prove that they have water available. The huge water districts in California are putting out notices that they might lower the amount of water available to farmers to 0%. Zero. That means they're going to have to depend on wells, which won't even do the job, so the farmers aren't even planting, but they can't get the money to plant. And so back to the food shortage, right now families need to get their food supplies in so that they actually have food that's available. Now, this little three-day pack is the result of something very interesting, Alex, and that is two things. A lot of people are hesitant. They've never dealt with the old dried food before. So what we did was we originally were going to put together just a little sample pack, but then all of this issue of people not being able to afford food, and you got to realize that all of this food that eFoods Direct is handling, cost-wise, is coming at about half the cost of last year's groceries for people. And so what we decided to do is put something together that, number one, people could actually buy for emergency grab-and-goes. Number two, some people will actually be living on them because it's cheaper than groceries. Number three, it's something that parents can send away to their kids at college and give them 3 days to get home on. And number four, a lot of people will pick these up, try them, and once they discover that the food is absolutely wonderful, then they'll be comfortable with getting in their 2, 3, 4 year supplies.
So this is it's a great test. People should buy a few of them to save, but also buy one and test it out at eFoodsDirect.com.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, there's an issue that I need to cover with you that your listeners need to be aware of. Y2K, there are a bunch of questionable characters that jumped into the food business because that is something that opportunists see right now as being a great profit center. Now, you know we've been at this for a long time when it wasn't popular. But right now, I need to tell your listeners something. There are quite a few of the organizations that were very questionable reputation-wise that have now hopped into the food business. And they are perfectly happy to take your money and leave you with a food supply that you cannot live on. An offer that we're making, Alex, and we're putting this up on the website, and I'm going to put together a couple of one-minute spots to telling people this. If, as you're looking at the confusion that's created by huge numbers of people jumping on this bandwagon of food, if you're confused by it, there's a simple remedy. Go to eFoodsDirect.com, and we've placed a statement up there that if you find any of these supplies of food, these one-year supplies of food, that you think are a better combination or a better price or a better value to you, please contact us, compare with what we've got up on the website, and we will offer you this promise. If you're willing to take the combination of food that they're putting in at these cheap prices and these goofy combinations, if you're willing to take that, we will build it for you ourselves and charge you at least $100 less per one-year supply than what they're advertising.
So you're saying you will offer less than anybody out there offer, basically. And I know the stuff that goes on. People sell 10, 15-year-old, 20-year-old food saying it's new.
Yep.
You guys, for those that don't know, have your own factory. The food people are getting, you got in the last few weeks or last few months, you're packaging it, canning, making yourself non-GMO, everything from right here in the U.S. except for your bananas. And the reason you're our sponsor is I did the research, and you're the place we went to. I bought some other stuff years ago, and it was full of MSG and vegetable protein and all this other stuff. And I mean, you guys have really high quality food, and that's why you're here. Plus, you have a really good price. Go ahead.
Well, and the other thing is the combination of food. I mean, you fill up a bunch of cans with wheat and beans and maybe five cans of vegetables for a four adult family, and it's just a terrible combination. A bad food supply is worse than no food supply because people depend on it, and then when they have to use it, they can't live on it.
Well, they've done
and
studies.
And that's what we're trying to avoid.
Well, they've done studies, and the name escapes me. What is that palate fatigue where if you're eating the same thing, it gets to where you basically have trouble eating it and you don't even absorb it? What's that?
Absolutely, and kids particularly will do that. But even still, the confusion that people have, we've had calls every day with some of these folks that think that some of these specials and stuff is us because your organization and GCN has become so, you know, similar to what we're doing. We're kind of walking in lockstep, and so
there's
think
other shows on the network and other ads, but yeah.
Yeah, and so the main thing that I need to tell folks is go ahead and shop around, and when you find something you think is cool, get back in touch with eFoods Direct, and we'll show you what the problems are with it. But if you still want that stuff, we'll put it together only with stuff that you can trust, and we'll charge you at least $100 less. If they're really ripping you off, we'll charge you the difference and let you make the savings. Chances are they won't go with that, but it's a promise. We want to guarantee people at least they get good food, even if they got the wrong combination. Don't get ripped off and don't let people take your money. You can't afford it right now.
800-409-5633. Well, let's just say you guys have got a great deal. I mean, I'll just put it that way. Again, give folks the toll-free number so they can call and get a free brochure or get the responder pack.
That sounds good. It's 800-409-5633. 800-409-5633. It's critical times, Alex, and what we're hoping with these little three-day packs, we can get people jump-started, and a lot of folks that really can't afford food are hopping on these. We had three calls yesterday from people that are living on the two-month supply right now. And so it's just...
No,
it's down
the economy's fine. When you told people here 14 months ago that we're going to have a depression, you were lying. Everything's wonderful. We've got your website, eFoods Direct, the letter eFoodsDirect.com up on the screen for those that aren't watching PrisonPlanet.tv. $21.95, and it shows all those containers of food, three-day responder. I'm guessing that's at cost or below it for you, Steve.
It's absolutely, it's introductory. It's trying to help people to get jump-started and get going. And for those that are in real trouble financially, it's a leg up for some food.
And for $99.95, I see you have a three-day responder five-pack,
yep.
And that's for $99.95. How much more inexpensive is this if one person tried to eat for 3 days at the grocery store, even on cheap stuff?
Oh, it's probably about half or less. But
are you kidding? A loaf of bread and some bologna and I mean, it's like $10, and you try to go get.
I know.
I mean, I don't know how people. I guess you guys just buy in such bulk you're able to do it. 800-409-5633, 800-409-5633. And this is where, over the years I bought a few different packages of storable foods, never really liked what I got, and I finally ran into the J. Michael Stevens group because I found out they were the biggest, the longest, continually operating, and, you know, the big guys that advertise nationally who care about their name. And so I got them as a sponsor years after buying their food. And, again, I've got food I bought from you 8 years ago that I gave to family. I've bought new packages to give it to family. You know, I just got more food from you a few months ago. I hate to even mention that. Everybody starts starving to death. They'll come to my house. But we do have the boom booms to protect the food. But, I mean, we hope none of this happens. We hope it doesn't get this bad. But it already is where people are losing their jobs by, what is it, $500,000 a month on average? You have millions in the aggregate. I mean, things are getting really serious. 800-409-5633. Before they devalue the currency on top of the depression, the hyper stag inflation we're going into that the economists and experts we've had on or say we're going into or already in, you know, the first level of, Give them a call, folks, while the FRNs still have value. And again, it's not just that it's a great sponsor that gives you a great deal. This show is made possible by this. You know, I got three guys out there running the show right now. I got a staff. We're making films. We're fighting the New World Order. And it is you, the radio listeners, that are funding the operation to resist. But while you do that, we also give you access to sponsors I believe in. So when you hear me endorse a sponsor, it means I've checked it out and I believe in it. And I just want to make that clear. So again, 800, give folks that number again, Steve.
800-409-5633.
800-409-5633, or on the web at eFoodsDirect, just one letter, E, and then foodsdirect.com. In closing, Steve, anything else you want to add?
Well, the main thing that I'm seeing, and I've seen some things that I predicted that you know, did come about, is that it's entirely possible that the folks that are freezing up and saying, we don't dare spend anything now because of all the job loss around, they must get off of that frozen state and put in food, because that is going to be the determinant as to whether they're going to maintain their liberties in the next 3 to 4 months.
Well, I hope you're wrong, Steve. You've been right about a lot of stuff. I mean, I hope we don't get into stuff that bad that quick, but Gerald Celente and everybody else is saying that. In fact, book Gerald Celente again. He hadn't been on in about 3 weeks. Let's book him right around the time he says they're going to have runs on the banks in the mid-February. And the guy's hardly ever wrong. I'm praying he's wrong. I'm hoping he's wrong. I'm not saying this is going to happen. But the globalist, Obama, saying get ready for something unpopular. And we're seeing a flotilla of things that are unpopular. So we'll see what that is. Steve Shank, thank you so much for spending time with us again. Folks need to go to eFoodsDirect.com and just try out the 3-day responder. Get it, eat it, test it, compare it to others. But whatever you do, don't wait too long, because we need the patriots, the people that know what's going on with the New World Order, to not be dependent on the establishment. You'll never stand in a bread line. As Steve Shank likes to say, if you have your own bread, look at the Superdome and the rest of it. They use food as a weapon. eFoodsDirect.com or 800-409-5633. Steve, thank you for making this show possible, and thanks for the great quality products you put out.
Take care, Alex.
And let me say bye to you during the break, okay, Steve?
Alrighty.
All right, folks, we're going to come back, jam in a few final phone calls. Man, that show went by so quick. We will end this transmission coming up. Stay the course with us, InfoWars.com. Segment. Nicolette in Ohio, thanks for holding. You're a trooper. Welcome to the airwaves.
Hi there, Alex.
Hi.
Okay, I got a couple of comments. First, I want to say thank you for your show, man. I mean, I've never heard so much information. And for those callers that say that you're making mistakes, I just want them to understand that they have to do their research as well. First thing, a lot of people think I'm crazy, but if you're out here single and you're living on meager means and you have a good job, then kind of think about what's going on. So first, the Cuba embargo. I had a couple of questions about that. I'm not really familiar with the terms or what happened in the history in Cuba, so I'd like you to reiterate on that for me as well as some of the listeners.
Well, I mean, Fidel Castro was a CIA operative because they thought they could use him to take over and kick out kind of the old money elite that were there, but then he double-crossed them. At least they claim. And so they clamp down on the island and don't let U.S. persons travel there. And, you know, don't let Cuban cigars or rum or sugar or anything else into the United States. And now Fidel's getting ready to die and Raul's in command, his brother. And I don't like our government. I don't like particularly the things they've done either. But I think the way to reform Cuba, if they'd have opened it up 30, 40 years ago, that place would be nothing but hotels again and people fun in the sun, and it wouldn't be communist. There's no way all the money and wealth of this country and people wanting to go there, because it's nice, I've been told, you know, and it's 90 miles. I mean, you're talking about the Caribbean 90 miles away from Florida. You can it's 90 miles away, Hoosh. He's looking at me not believing it. It really is. I would love to go there. I'd love it, not, you know, a hour and a half flight from Houston. I'd love to, you know, $100 flight down there for the weekend. That's what it would cost. That's what it is to Florida, from Texas. I would go there and you know, fun in the sun. I love, that's what I love, the sun. Can't do it. So Fidel, by them clamping down on him, that allowed his communism and control to stay in place. That's my take on it, Nicolette.
Okay, another quick thing. I was on the phone the other day trying to call 911, and this is a pretty weird story. My neighbor's downstairs. I don't know what they do, but all I know is they were slamming doors so hard that the keys are falling down. I heard a woman screaming and stuff, and this guy arguing with her. So I called 911, and I get this receptionist, 911, what is your city and state? And I say, Cleveland, Ohio. And then they say, name and phone number, please. And I said, I'd rather keep that private. And then they kept asking me over and over again, and it sounded kind of like a robotic voice, but a person at the same time. And I kept reiterating, I don't want to give out my information. So until, you know...
Well, they already knew it. They already knew it off your phone number. If you were calling from one of your phones, you pay for. Yeah, they're going to federalize 911. They've talked about doing that with these threat fusion centers, these emergency management centers, these threat integration centers. They have different names for them, but it's all little federalized nodes. I got to let you go. We're out of time. I have like 10 callers here I want to go to. You know, I'm reading this U.S. Code, and this was pointed out to me by constitutional lawyers years ago. And it's saying that there are exceptions subject to subsection C, D, and E. So they're saying there's an exception to informed consent for any peaceful purposes related to medical, therapeutic, or informed consent of the Secretary of Defense. So it's saying there's an exception to that. I'm going to get a lawyer on about this because it's been years since I really talked about this. And last time we had lawyers on about it, they agree with what we're saying here. I mean, we know they're doing unconformed consent, and they always cite this when they get caught doing unconformed consent. So I'll try to stay focused on that and get back into it. But we know, regardless, don't miss the forest for the trees here. They're doing Tuskegee experiment, everything right through to today. Just Google, Fed spray bacteria over city. I mean, it's happening all the time. They'll call it a test and say it's non-lethal, but then admit that it causes abortions, spontaneous abortions. Retransmission starts now with big guest, InfoWars.com.